Blog Talk Radio.
Any day now is what I kept telling myself on the last mile on the road.
Rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited. Amen. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I want to welcome you to our final day of our online domestic violence conference. Woman, you don't have to live like that. We have been having a powerful, powerful time. If you missed any of it, go back and listen to the archives on Thursday night. My God, our God moved in a mighty powerful way. Reverend Thurcell Chisholm Watts came and she brought forth a word, the fear factor. It was just a powerful time in the Lord where we were just able to come together and get some answers and get some encouragement and exhortation in this area of domestic violence or even just talking about our relationships. And then on last night, Apostle Dr. Tanya Blount came and she shared about personal serpents in the pit. My God, glory, hallelujah. To God be the glory for the great things that he is doing in our midst. Both of those nights were just powerful, awesome. And then she began to share about her testimony. Prayer went forth for the abuser and the abused. And I tell you, the Lord has been breaking off some shackles and destroying some yokes in the lives of his daughters and his sons, amen, because this is not a woman thing. This is an issue. This is an issue that needs to be addressed pertaining to men, women, boys, and girls, amen. So I want you to get ready. We're about to take off. We are about to take off and go somewhere else today because we have our domestic violence experts with us, amen, and they're going to be speaking to us in the area of domestic violence, amen. We're going to have a panel discussion, and we're going to be sharing some real issues right here on Blog Talk Radio. Listen, call somebody, Facebook somebody, tweet somebody, and let them know, email somebody, text somebody. We have so many ways of getting in touch with our family and our friends. Listen, not just Christians. This is not for Christians only. This is for everybody. So get on the phone and let them know to come to the Woman to Woman Show with Pastor Rebecca, where we are having an online domestic violence conference with the theme, Woman, You Don't Have to Live Like That. So woman, whether you're the abused or the abuser, you don't have to live like that. You do not have to live like that. And men, we want you to tune in, and we want you to let your voice be heard. We want you to call in. Amen. So if your parents were in abusive relationships, whatever, if you've been in an abusive relationship, if you're in bad relationships and just don't know why, you're in the right place today because God is getting ready to reveal some things, and we're excited. So I want to just go ahead and begin to, I pray that you feel welcome everybody. I just pray that you feel welcome. I'm going to go ahead and ask Prophetess Singletary to open us in prayer, and then we're going to, I'm going to come back after she prays and introduce some of our panelists, all of our panelists, and my co-moderator, our moderator, actually I'm assisting her today, Tina Lane. So let us go before the Lord in prayer. God bless you, Prophetess. God bless you.
Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, O God, for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we thank you for allowing us to rejoice and be glad in it, O God. Lord, we praise you, O God, hallelujah, for our lying down last night and our early rising this morning, O God. We thank you that when we rose on today, that we were yet clothed in our right minds, O God, with the activity of our limbs, the blood running warm in our veins on today. Lord, we thank you, O God, for allowing us to get up and maneuver throughout the day, O God, just blessing us to make it through another week. Lord, we thank you, O God, hallelujah, for the facilitation, O God, of this domestic online conference that's been taking place from Thursday into Friday, even on today, O God. We thank you for the preachers, O God, your women, hallelujah, that have gone forth and preached the word and ministered a word, O God, hallelujah, a word that would cause healing to come about in the lives of your people, O God, those that are abused, those that are the abusers, O God. Lord, we thank you for moving by your spirit and moving by your might, O God. We thank you on today, O God, for we know that it's not by power and it's not by might, O God, but it's by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that you would just continue to heal in the minds and the hearts of your people, O God, those that have been touched and impacted, O God, by this situation of domestic violence, O God. We thank you for continually healing in the lives of your people, O God. Thank you for healing their hearts, O God, their mind, their body, their soul. We thank you, O God, hallelujah, for bringing about new things in their lives, O God. We thank you, O God, for knowing and letting us know and reminding us that we don't have to stay in the state that we're in, O God. We don't have to live like that, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for bringing us up out of a horrible pit, oh God, hallelujah, and showing us, oh God, the way that we should be treated, oh God, the way that we should be loved, oh God, the way that we should be appreciated, oh God. We thank you, oh God, because you've considered us to be the apple of your eye, oh God. We thank you for knowing, oh God, that all that you've made us to be, oh God, you wonderfully made us, you fearfully made us, oh God, in your likeness and in your image, oh God. Even on today, oh God, as the panel discussion goes forth, we ask that you would just anoint every person, oh God, that's going to be touching on this subject, hallelujah. Lord, we ask that you would just word their mouths, oh God, hallelujah. We thank you for real life situations, oh God, Hallelujah, things that they have experienced, oh God, hallelujah, the way that you brought them out, oh God, how they can share their stories, oh God, hallelujah, to encourage and give hope to someone else on today. Lord, we thank you, oh God, hallelujah, for the visionary, oh God, hallelujah, hallelujah, of this planning, oh God, this event, hallelujah, on domestic violence, oh God. We thank you, oh God, hallelujah, for many have been silent, oh God, but we thank you for stirring up a people, oh God, hallelujah, that's not defeated and scared, oh God, hallelujah, that they're going forth in boldness, oh God, they're going forth, oh God, in victory, hallelujah, knowing that if you did it for them, oh God, you're able to heal and move in the lives of your people, oh God. Look on the saved as well as the unsaved, oh God, those that have tuned into your word on this week, oh God, by the airwaves, oh God. We thank you for your word getting out over the airwaves, the phone, oh God, through the internet, oh God. We thank you for ministering a word, oh God, to your people, oh God, those that are not able to make it to the church, hallelujah. But we thank you, oh God, hallelujah, for your word is yet still yet effective, oh God, hallelujah, and going forth, oh God, in all of the earth, oh God. We thank you for this kingdom assignment, oh God, hallelujah, that you've charged, hallelujah, to the hands of your people, oh God. Bless the panel discussions on today. Bless, oh God, hallelujah, everyone that's going to call in, everyone that's, hallelujah, in the chat room, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Continue to move by your spirit, move by your power, oh God. Thank you for your anointing, oh God, that you've allowed us to feel, hallelujah, from Thursday even up until now. We thank you, oh God, because we're yet believing, oh God, hallelujah, that you're going to allow us to feel your anointing, your presence, oh God, your healing, your deliverance, hallelujah. We thank you for yet saving, oh God, saving your people, oh God, delivering and setting free, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So we thank you for knowing that you're, hallelujah, the author of everything, oh God, hallelujah, that will bring about freedom in our lives, oh God. Bless your people, oh God. Bless everyone that's tuned in. Bless everyone that found it not robbery, oh God, to come together in this forum, oh God. Have your way, oh God. You get the glory. We come against technical failures, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Allow your word to go forth. Hallelujah, without interruption, oh God. Allow your word to go forth and yet heal your people, oh God. Thank you for being the balm in Gilead, oh God. Thank you for healing. Thank you for healing the soul, oh God. Thank you for healing the inward parts, those things that people haven't been able to share with anybody. Hallelujah. But we thank you for the word that was ministered on this week, oh God. Hallelujah. You're giving them a breakthrough, oh God. You're giving them a breakthrough, oh God. You're allowing them to break forth. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah, and put the past behind them and move forward into newness, oh God. Hallelujah, we ask that you would just continue to bless us, oh God. Even past this day, oh God, continue to bless your people all over the land and country, oh God, so that they can walk in victory and not defeat. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus, there's so much power in prayer, and
Jesus.
We are covered, amen.
Hallelujah.
We are covered in prayer. My God, powerful prayer. Thank the Lord
thank
for
you,
Talking to Singletary.
Bless you, Pastor.
My God, just tapping in. You always seem to have a way of getting us right into the presence of the Lord, and I just thank God for you, amen, as we are covered. You know, we are covered in prayer because the devil is not happy with us going forth with this topic. That we are going forth and we are actually taking it by the horns, and we're just saying that you don't have to live like that. You don't have to live beaten with busted lips and bloody noses and bruised emotions because somebody wants to physically, emotionally, or even spiritually abuse you. Amen. Hallelujah. And even some of us in our relationships. Being in a relationship with the wrong people. So what we want to do is just get it straight. And we have bound it up. I know that the devil has been tied up and this take this embarked of his power. He has no power here today. Amen. So we thank God that if we're free to go forward and do what God has called us to do here. We are going to go into our panel. I have four dynamic panelists that are going to be with us today. We have four dynamic panelists. They all have phenomenal resumes. I don't have to tell you that we don't have time that we would need to read all of the resumes. So we're not going to read their resumes. I was going to read the resumes, but I'm not going to do that. What I want to do is just tell you a little bit about each lady that's going to be on our panel. Next year we're going to have a brother on the panel, but this year we have all women. And I want to tell you a little bit about each and every one of them, amen. I want you to just begin to continue to let people know that we're on the air. Tell them to call at 646-652-4832 or go to blogtalkradio.com/power and come and be a part of this panel discussion. Amen. I want to thank God for the phone lines are lit up, for all of you who are on the phone lines, and for those of you who are in the chat room. Amen. Hallelujah. Our first panelist is Pastor Gwendolyn Lester Carson, MRE. She is a powerful woman of God. She has given domestic violence conferences all year long. Amen. She's not one who saves this topic for October, like so many of us, and I've been convicted. I have been convicted. I'm going to be dealing with this topic all year. Amen. She is a wonderful woman of God who is a passionate, and I'm not reading her bio, I'm just telling you what I know about her, who is passionate about the gospel and spreading the gospel, saving souls, changing lives. She has a bachelor's in theology, and she also has a master's in religious education. She is on the battlefield. She has a church in Newark, amen, in time ministries. Her church is in Newark, New Jersey. She has a passion, again, for women, amen, for women being set free from anything that can hold them back. And she truly, truly gives everything that she has to ministry, to the Lord. The Lord has birthed out Weapons of Power, which is a conference that she does every year. As a matter of fact, we're looking forward to her conference on next year, the Weapons of Power conference, and she's going to have some powerful preachers there. My God, Millicent Thompson Hunter, the author Don't Die in the Winter, and a couple of other powerful, powerful preachers, Dr. Virginia Booth. And there's one more preacher who's going to be there, minister, a powerful woman of God. Prophets, I don't know if you have the name of that particular minister.
No,
I can't recall. Amen. I don't have it in front of me. But if you look at the board, there's a slideshow, and the flyer is there so that you can begin to make yourself available of that particular conference. I'll be there. I'm looking forward to going there. And her mission is to target the enemy instead of the enemy targeting you. So Weapons of Power is going to help us to equip ourselves to be victorious. So that is our first panelist. She is my friend. I also will tell you that this is my sister, my co-laborer, and my friend, Pastor Gwendolyn Lester Carson. So we're looking forward to having her with us on today. Our second panelist is Minister Prophetess Lalisa J. Williams, my God, and this is another awesome woman of God. She is actually in the doctorate program at this time, and I don't highlight the degrees to impress anyone, but I do highlight the degrees to say that these women are committed and dedicated to being all that they can be and knowing that all that they can know and being equipped so that they can go places that we might not be able to go if we don't go forward and go ahead and get the education. I'm all in favor of education, amen, and God tells us to study to show ourselves approved. So these women have shown due diligence, and they've gone and they've gotten the degrees. Amen. So she is actually, she has a BA in political science and an MBA in human resources. And, you know, and she's now working towards her PhD. Amen. Finishing her coursework. This was a high school dropout. Come on, somebody. We're talking about somebody who wouldn't study for tests, who didn't, got all Fs, and eventually dropped out of high school. This woman of God was raised and born and raised in Cincinnati. She has several books that she has authored, including God's Plan for My Success. She also has a book entitled Release Your Power. And she has a couple more books that she is about to release. Amen. So I'm excited about this woman of God and everything that God is doing in her life. She has experienced domestic violence. She's a survivor. Amen. She knows what it's like to be in that type of relationship. She has a powerful testimony. I'm not going to share it. I'm sure that she will share it. She is the owner of the CEO of Brand New Beginnings, and also another company that the Lord has given her to birth forward, amen, which is Performance Strategies Unlimited, Inc. And she's a powerful woman of God. She is a preacher. She's a wife. She's a mother, a grandmother. I mean, the Lord is just using her mightily. So that is our second panelist, LaLisa J. Williams. And, we hand-selected our panelists because we knew that God was going to use this special group of women to speak to your heart today. Our third panelist is Mrs. Dana Neal, Minister Dana Neal. Amen. Another powerful woman of God. She's a motivational speaker, a poet, a writer. She's a coach. And she's touching lives. She's touching people's lives to build them up, to go higher in the things that God ordained for them. Amen. Mrs. Dana Neal, Minister Neal, has been a friend of mine. I mean, she's been with me since I started doing internet ministry. And she started out with me in my group, Christian Women of Power. And now she's a part of the Women to Women Empowerment Group, which is on Facebook. And she is an awesome woman of God. She's a wife. She's a mother. She's the founder of Fan for You, Breakthrough Ministries. And she's also has the a prayer group on Bended Knees, prayer group. This woman of God is just, she's saved, she's sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. She is an author of several books. Her latest book is No Longer a Victim. And again, she has a husband, and she's a mother. She has some children. She does some volunteer work. She is a powerful woman of God, another powerful woman of God. I cannot begin to tell you all of the work that is going forth in the lives of these women that I've already introduced, and even Gazelle Simmons, which is our alternate. She wasn't on the promo, but we invited her when we first started putting this together. Tina Lane, who assisted me with the putting together of this powerful conference, we invited her, and she was getting married. She was supposed to be getting married on today and ended up getting married last week. Hallelujah. Congratulations, Gazelle. I know what that feels like to want to move the date up, because my husband and I, we did that. We moved the date up 6, 7, 8 months and then a year. So we know what it's like to want to hurry up and get married, because we can't wait to spend the rest of our lives together. Gazelle Simmons, as you just heard me say, is a newlywed, 1 week newlywed, and she is a virtual assistant who specializes in social media navigation, data entry, presentations, word processing, database management, everything that you need from a virtual assistant, she can do, which as well as even helping you to advance your business or your ministry in any kind of way that you need to advance it. Gazelle is the person. I've worked with her personally. She's done some transcribing for me, and she works with a spirit of excellence. She is an author, again, that which does not kill us makes us stronger. I probably have not given you the proper title of her book, so let me give you the right title of her book. The title of her book is That Which Does Not Kill Us Makes Us Stronger. And I'm going to let her clarify that, because I'm looking at her resume, and the whole title is not on her resume. But you can find her book on Amazon, as you can find all of the other authors on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. And this woman of God, she wrote this as a personal testimony because she is a survivor of Hurricane Katrina. Hurricane Katrina, she was actually living there when the hurricane struck, And this book is her testimony about how God has brought her out of not only the hurricane, but abuse, depression, adultery, single motherhood, and personal storms, other personal storms that we might encounter in life. She is also a friend of mine who's been with me for a long time, I mean, at least 8-9 years. We've been together in our groups, Christian Women of Power, and now the Women to Women Empowerment Group. Powerful, powerful women of God. I tell you, these women, all of them, all four of them, Pastor Carson, Prophetess Minister Melissa Williams, Minister Dana Neal, Gazelle Simmons, all of these women have personal testimonies of triumph. My God, my God, all of these women have personal testimonies of triumph, and when you meet them and begin to hear them, you'll know the power that has brought them through is only God. Only God could have brought them out of what he has brought them out of. And let me introduce you to our panelists, and I'm going to turn everything over to her. Those are our four panelists. Let me introduce you to our panel moderator. And we're going to turn everything over to her so that we can get this conversation started. The bios were long and technical, so I pray that I've introduced you to each woman adequately so that you can know, you can sense the heart of these women and why they're here. And they're going to be able to tell us a little bit about why they're here also. So I'm going to move on and introduce you to our panel moderator, and who I'll be assisting on today. Our moderator is Tina Lane. And the first and the most important thing I can say about Tina Lane is that she loves the Lord. Amen. As all of the women who are going to be before us today love the Lord. Tina was born and raised in Newark, and she is a member of Philemon Missionary Baptist Church. We want to get that straight. And that's in Newark, New Jersey. Tina Lane is an asset to so many of our ministries. She's an asset to my ministry, and she's helped so many pastors here in the Newark, Bloomfield, Elizabeth, Irvington area. She's a servant of the Lord who rolls up her sleeves and serves faithfully. Amen. Her pastors, however, are the Reverend Allen and First Lady Doris Allen, Reverend Edward Allen and First Lady Doris Allen, whom I have yet to meet, but I'm looking forward to meeting them both. Tina, she serves faithfully. A lot of people see her working with other churches, but she does serve faithfully as the vice president of her church's usher board. Amen. And she's also a member of the Praise Dance Ministry. Sister Tina has the gift of administration, and she has excellent management skills that the Lord is using for his glory. Amen. She's very active in various women's ministries and radio broadcasts that are being heard around the globe. Amen. And her goal is to empower, uplift, and motivate people to work towards their purpose. She enjoys working with young people. She has an awesome ministry for the youth. She has done self-esteem building workshops and just an awesome heart for women. Amen. And her favorite scripture is actually Proverbs 31. So the team that's coming before you today are prepared to minister to you, amen, and to minister to all of us, because we're all going to receive ministry, amen, in the best way that we can minister to each other, amen. And we invite you, as we're going forward, to call in. We invite you to call in and be a part of what God is doing here today. So I'm first going to invite Tina. God bless you, Tina. Welcome to the service, you're on the air. God bless you. And I'm going to turn it over to you at this point. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. God bless you, Pastor Rebecca.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad to have you. Glad to have you. As I'm already, just probably have to speak up a little bit louder. You're coming through a little low.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, amen, praise
okay.
God, hallelujah. So I'm going to just give you a moment to just say a few words as I open up the phone lines of all of the panelists.
Oh, thank you, God bless you. First, I would like to say thank you for that wonderful welcome. Thank you for welcoming all our panelists. Yes, all our panelists are experts in this field, and I appreciate it. I appreciate that they accepted this invitation to come on and do this domestic violence online conference today. Amen. It's such a blessing to have Pastor Gwendolyn Carson and Minister Coach Lalisa Williams, Minister Dana Neal, and Gavelle Simmons. I thank you that you took time today on the Saturday between 1 and 3 to come in and to minister to people on the airwaves and minister to people who want to listen to this broadcast via archives. I thank you so much for your diligence of coming today. Today is going to be awesome. Thursday and Friday was great. Thursday we had Reverend Thurcell Chisholm Watts, who brought forth a powerful word on fear and domestic violence. And yesterday we had Apostle Dr. Tanya Blunt, who brought forth the word on domestic violence, there's purpose in the pit. So day three, I'm expecting everyone to please, if you're on the phone line, like Pastor Rebecca said, you can dial in, area code 646-652-4832. If you're in the chat room, you have a question or comment, please say something. I'm just grateful to be here. I'm grateful that Pastor Rebecca asked me to be the panelist moderator for this event. So I'm looking forward to starting whenever you are, Pastor.
Amen. I believe everybody is here. I'm not. Okay, amen. 973-926, you have your hand raised. Who do we have with us here? 973-926.
Oh, Sandra Hughes?
Sandra Hughes, did you have your hand raised?
I think I did. How are you?
God bless you. God bless you. Welcome. I'm doing really well today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you for having this wonderful panel. And you panelists, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to come today. The public really appreciates it.
Amen. God bless you, Sandra. Thank you so much for taking the time to say hello to us. And anybody else who wants to just say hello and, you know, let your voice be heard even before we get started, you're welcome at any time. We're going to flow with the Holy Ghost. We want to really begin to have a dialogue and talk to each other about domestic violence. So we're not going to be rigid. So I'm glad you raised your hand, Sandra, and I got a chance to meet you before we even started the discussion.
Thank you.
Amen. So stay with us, and then maybe later on you'll have some things that you'll want to say.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay, Tina, I believe everybody's here except for, I don't see Prophetess Lalisa Williams number. Lalisa, if you're here, just raise your hand. Press 1 so that I can see your number, and I'll open up your phone line. So, Tina, you can go ahead and get started. We're still waiting for Minister Lalisa to come, so we can just go ahead and get started.
Okay, well, again, I'd like to welcome the panelists that are here today. And we want to just start off with each panelist, please give me a 3 to 4 minute brief speech on why this topic is important to you. And I'd like to start off with Minister Dana Neal. Hi.
Oh, God bless you. I knew I would be first.
Wow.
This is important to me because I come from both sides of the spectrum, and I think I talk more about how I have been the abuser, not so much the abused, but again, I do come from both sides of the spectrum. This is very important because when we look at domestic violence, and I know we'll talk about this more, we talk about the woman side, but we also need to be careful of the men who have been victimized and as well as the children in any way, shape, or form. So this is very important to me because when you've been abused and then been the abuser, you have to be able, you can share and understand both sides. So that's why it's very important to me.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you for sharing that.
Amen. Tina, I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm looking at the switchboard, and we have another hand raised. I just want to give this person a moment to say hello. God bless you. Area code 973, your hand is raised. Welcome to the service on today. God bless you. Your hand is raised. Okay. They probably didn't mean to raise their hand. Okay. All right, Tina, go ahead with the next person.
Amen, amen. May I have Pastor Gwendolyn Carson? Hello, hello.
God bless you. I'm sorry about that. I'm at the church, and I'm juggling. God bless you. Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you. I'm very honored to be on the panel with these women of God. I'm talking about and expressing how they feel about domestic violence. What's important to me is that, well, I've had my own experience dealing with domestic violence on the side of being abused. Way before I became a pastor, I was afflicted by my boyfriends, you know. One tried to suffocate me with a pillow, okay, and of course I was afraid for my life, and I had a child. I had a 3-year-old child there. I also been afflicted with another boyfriend of mine that just slapped me and spit on me and kicked me. The drug and alcohol scene was there, and this is all a world that I was exposed to, not realizing the toll that it took until I got to this point in my life. And I didn't realize I was battered. I didn't realize I was abused at the time. You know, if I was going along, you know, with the flow, I was loving these men, you know, and I wanted to be right for them. But lo and behold, I didn't realize that it affected my life. It affected how I raised my children. And as I began to be more active in the church, I realized it's in the church too, you know. So once I found myself a need to heal myself, there was a need to heal other people too, to encourage them, to recognize them that you've been abused, you've been battered, and you don't have to live like this. Okay, there's a way to get out of it, you know. And some of us, like I was afraid to even talk, you know. I had past situations, just recent situations that I say I was not aware how to get out until I began to open up to one person. So the best thing for me is to begin to talk. You know, I had a trust factor, okay? I had a trust. I was scared to come out of the closet. I was scared to expose the things that was going on in my home, but I realized that I was hurt. I was hurt, and I needed some help. And I talked to so many women. I'm listening to them, like, oh my God, I know how you feel. I know where you've been. You know, oh God, I'm about to cry right now because I still feel the pain. I still feel the suffering the way the women go through. But there is a way out. There is a way out. But if we learn how to just understand the situation, we may not clearly understand it, but if we start caring for one another, okay, and saying that, you know, it will be okay, but there are some steps, there are some measures to take to get out of the situation because you are not alone.
Amen.
That's my story.
That's your story. Thank you for sharing that. God bless you, Pastor Gwendolyn Carson. I like the ending, you are not alone. And that's something that Apostle Dr. Tanya Blunt spoke about yesterday. You are not
Amen.
Alone.
Amen.
You are
that.
Not alone. No longer to be silent. Amen.
Mm.
Praise God.
That is powerful. That is powerful. I see you with your hands up. We have the phone lines are lit up, and we have so many hands up. I have 4 hands up. I want you all to know I see you with your hands up. And as soon as Tina finishes with this question, we're going to take some of your calls. And Minister Lalisa is here, Tina, so you can go ahead.
Oh, amen. Welcome, Minister Coach Lalisa Williams.
Oh, God bless you. Awesome, awesome women of God. God bless you. Glad to be here.
Amen. Well, Minister Coach Lalisa Williams, what I was asking each panelist, and I'm going to ask you this question. I wanted to find out, why is this topic important to you? And you can sum it up like 3 to 4 minutes. Praise God.
Yes, yes. Oh, my God. That is a really, really hard question. But, oh, man. Wow.
That is not even enough time.
Oh, we're going to come back to it.
Yeah, one more time. No, but we're going to talk to you.
I can answer it, though. I just, it's just so powerful. But, you know, the Holy Spirit gave me this topic as a desire and an urgency. And, you know, I really had forgotten how messed up I was from domestic violence. You know, I had several boyfriends that beat me, and it went back, you know, so long. It started when I was 17 with my first real boyfriend. And then having, you know, been sexually abused, I just thought it was natural for me. I thought it was natural for people to beat on me. And I didn't feel loved, didn't feel beautiful. And so my first real boyfriend did it. You know, it just kind of, and I became just kind of more timid, wouldn't fight back. That's why one chapter in my book talks about fighting, you know, about fighting back. I didn't know how to fight back, having been bullied as a kid. I never fought back. I wasn't a fighter. And so I thought that that prone me to be domestically abused. So it wasn't until the Holy Spirit just really made me want to share my story so that other people can feel beautiful now, can feel powerful now, even though they may feel bad about what happened to them, okay? But they can, but yeah, that maybe that happened. Maybe someone cut you. Maybe someone shot you, stabbed you, hit you in the head with a pipe, you know, drug you down the street like I had been, you know, knocked all my teeth out like what happened to me, you know, to have to wear dentures at a young age. I didn't like that. You know, but all I kept saying was, I'm glad he didn't break my jaw. You know, I thought, how am I going to kiss my husband one day and I don't have any teeth, you know? But so God, you know, gave me this desire to share, because it's so ugly that who wants to tell that? Who wants to tell that, you know, a man, you know, he knocked all my teeth. He didn't knock them out with his fist. He stomped me in the head. And so he literally crushed my teeth and moved my gums with his foot. And he had on combat boots, because this happened when I was age 23. I was in the military. And so he had his army, his Navy boots on. So, but all I kept saying was, God, you know, why didn't he crush my skull? Because I basically, you know, went out of it, you know, lost consciousness. When I woke up, I was in the dentist chair with them, you know, repairing my mouth. But, you know, I give God glory today because, you know, if I can have, but I know what got me into that relationship with him, and my abusive relationships didn't stop with that. I did go into a few others. So I believe that God, you know, wants me to share some of the signs of abuse so that because they do, a lot of the signs are there before we ever take up with these men. So I believe, and that's why I'm committed now. Like before, I wasn't. And then the opportunity presented itself through people like Pastor Rebecca, through you all. The opportunity kept presenting itself, you know, Miss Denise in Cleveland. I'm like, okay, God, I get it. All right.
Wow.
You know, so, yeah. The opportunity was, I had already been abused. And then the opportunity just kept showing up, even down to a woman at Essex County College 9 years ago saying to me, oh, I want to talk about different stuff with my class. You think you can talk about domestic violence? Or do you have any experience? I said, well, does personal experience count? She was like, oh, yes. And that was about 9 years ago I was doing that. So that's why I want to talk about it.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Coastal Lisa, that was beautiful. And I wrote down, you said, so others may feel beautiful about themselves. That's the reason why you're sharing. And basically, you telling your story and telling the pain you went through in your stories may give someone else the power to get out of their situation. So I thank you for sharing that. Amen. Pastor Rebecca, you said you want to open the lines to have a couple people with their hands up.
You have another panelist. You have one more panelist.
Is it Dan?
Gazelle Simmons.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Gazelle Simmons. Praise God.
Morning, how are you?
Good morning. Good afternoon, Gazelle. I do apologize. When Coastal Leaf came in, I forgot. Gazelle Simmons, yes, the same question applies to you. Why is this topic so important to you today, Gazelle?
Oh, well, for me, I came at this from two different angles.
Yes.
One, I grew up with this as a child. And from that point of view, I can tell people, you know, when you think that these things don't affect children, they do. They see everything. They understand everything. They really do pick up what's going on. Growing up with this as a child and not realizing that this wasn't the norm for everyone was definitely, it skews your perspective of what to expect in life. And then as an older person, and when I got married, my very first husband, he had, I used to tell people all the time, he has hands problems. He doesn't know how to keep his hands. Because it just amazed me that, you know, I walked in and the very first person I married was just like my father. He didn't look like him, didn't talk like him, but he was just like him. And it took me about 18 months to realize that I needed to go. And literally, my first thought was, you know, the first time I walked away from an argument with a bruise, and I was looking at my elbow thinking, this is not supposed to be me. And I look up at him, and he's looking at me like, well, you know what? What? What's the big deal? So it's a bruise, big deal. And I was like, you know what? I got to go. I can't pass this on to my children, and I can't let this continue in me. And as I got older, and I used to tell people all the time, I said, you know what? I never understood how watching someone do this conditions you to allowing it to happen to you, because, you know, under normal circumstances, you think to yourself, oh, how repulsive, this is something horrible. But when you've seen it all your life, and even as a child, you're sort of numb to it. It doesn't shock you, you know, it doesn't have that, you know, that the powerful is sort of a very slow lull. So that's why I tell people, you know, they say, well, you know, I'm going to stay in this marriage for the kids. Please don't do it for the kids, because you're not helping them. You're really not. If anything, you're causing them more harm and passing it on to another generation. So for me, the important thing was to be able to say, if you're staying for the children, don't. It's not helping. If you're in it as a grown woman, don't ask yourself how you got here. Ask yourself how you get out of it. That's why it was important to be here.
Wow, powerful. Don't ask yourself how you got here. Ask yourself how you're going to get out of it. Thank you, Gazelle.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was a powerful statement right there. And if you're staying for the children and give your perspective as a child growing up, seeing the abuse in your home, praise God. Thank you for sharing today. Amen.
Wow. Wow, that is just powerful, ladies. I tell you, we're going to open up some of these phone lines. I do see a few people. I did check with two people already, so we have two more people with their hands up. Just check in because it's just so important to hear what the people, the attendees, are interested in and what they're looking for when they come here and what they have to say about this topic. I know all of these people are now calling and coming into the chat room. I want to welcome everybody on the phone lines and in the chat room to this panel. And it is a place for you to let your voice be heard. We have a panel, but we're not going to be so structured that we can't hear what you have to say or even hear your question. But we do have some information that we want to present to you so that you can be equipped to get out and to deal with you know, having the life that God has for you instead of dealing with somebody abusing you. Area code 443, you have your hand raised. You're on the air. Welcome to the service.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes, hi, grace and peace. This is Sister Taryn Booker. I actually spoke with Pastor Rebecca, and I'm familiar with Pastor Carson as well. I just want to say that it's a pleasure to be involved in something that's such as in-depth as this, because this is a matter that really does need to be addressed in ministry as well as the ministry bringing it into the GD realm. As I was explaining to Pastor Rebecca, I too am a victim of domestic violence, you know, victim, now victorious, praise God.
Yes.
I thank God for the young lady, Dana, who mentioned her having been the abuser and having been reconciled through God, to become a better person and a better woman, and I commend you and congratulate you for that. As I had explained to Pastor Rebecca, this is definitely something that's very prominent in my life right now, as my husband and I were both serving in ministry. So it was very much a blow to me when I came to serve in ministry and then I got married. It actually, the abuse was prevalent even way before I got married, but I've been through the situation where I had my nose fractured, my jaw shifted, I had my head busted open while I had my daughter in my arms at 1 month old, you know, just coming home from the hospital. It's a variety of different things, but I am able to say today that God is able. I would say to no woman, no woman by any means stay, because I did. Because it's a generational bloodline curse, and at the same time, it is a demonic spirit that's set forth to wreak havoc in the lives of those that are called by God. So in realizing this, it's saying, okay, you know, Lord, use me. Do what you need to do in me. But at the same time, we have to remember that we have to call forth those things that be not and drag that thing up out of our spouses at the same time. Now, again, like I said, don't stay. Don't stay, you know, because I just spoke at a domestic violence awareness movement this month, actually, in New York. And the theme was don't go back. And that is the most important thing that I would give to any woman. Get out and no, don't go back. Let God be God. Let God do what he has to do, because we can't save those men. Yes, the sanctified wife sanctifies the household, but we can't save those men. You know, we can pray and place them on the altar and lead them before God and let God do what he has to do. And as a result of this, I can say today by way of testimony that my husband is now in a program. He's fighting for the things of God more than he is for me. He's saying, no, I can't live like this. No, I can't do this. No, I need to fight this thing out in the spirit and not raise up my hands at you. So a lot of it deals with the anger that is embedded. And as we know, anger is a demonic spirit that's set forth, you know. So we have to keep it in the confines of the godly realm, and I thank God for each of you women that is on this panel, and those of you that have and still do pray for me, pray with me, you know, Facebook me, things of that nature. It means so much. It really does, because this is a walk that I'm walking out right now. You know what I mean? So the words of encouragement and hearing everything that each one of you is going through is an encouragement and a motivating factor for me to say, okay, you know what? God has me in the right space, in the right place. I'm doing the right thing. You know, I'm doing the things that are of God. I'm at a space where I've taken my hands off. You know,
yeah.
I'm taking my hands off and I'm believing God. I'm saying, Lord, you are mighty. You are worthy. You reign. You know, do what you do. Fix me and mend me at the same time while you're working on him and pulling those things out of him, you know. So we're doing the counseling, marital counseling, Christian singles ministry counseling. You know, there's a lot of things that are going on, and I just thank God for women such as yourself, and I just want to congratulate you. I applaud you, and please, when you have those connections to the Coalition Against Domestic Violence, I can say firsthand, get a way to get into these places. These women need to be ministered to something fierce. They need to be ministered to. I was there. I had to jump through burning, flaming hoops to find the nearest local church.
Wow.
You know, so please go through the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Find the local shelter. Go there. Ask them, can you come in and minister to the women? Because it's needed. It is needed. And I just thank
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. This is Pastor Rebecca, and I heard your testimony. I'm so glad that you called in to share your testimony. I want to give this back to the panel because you talked something, Taryn, you talked about being in a relationship even before you got married and having that relationship be violent. You were already in an abusive relationship before you got married and you were in the church. I want to give this back to the panel, and I want to start with Minister Lalisa Williams, and then have Pastor Carson perhaps follow her. What are the signs? Lalisa, you talked about the signs. What do we do? How do we see the signs, and what do we do when we see the signs? Minister Lalisa Williams? Okay, Pastor Carson, what do we do? What are the signs? How do we see the signs of a man who or a woman who may be abusive, and what do we do when we see those signs? How do we,
well,
how are we supposed to move forward if we're already in a relationship with somebody and then they show themselves to be abusive?
Okay, a woman knows a woman, number one, okay? So you would see some unexplained injuries, you know, things that are visible on her face, maybe they'd be on her fingers or on her hands, you know, even on her legs. You know, just unexplained injuries. Someone is saying that I'm stalking, monitoring phone calls. Where are you? Where are you every 15 and every 20 minutes? You know, that is a problem. When you see that situation with someone, you know, you can recognize that there is a problem going on when the man or the woman will call every 15, where are you? When are you going to come back? Okay, that's controlling, okay? That's having a power over them. Also, when you don't see that person, you know, as often as you would, okay? These are some signs. Okay, that you can detect that there is something going on behind closed doors. Also, changes in behavior, you know. I mean, ultimately, it stems from low self-esteem, okay? And you can see a person that regresses back or begin to double talk. You can see those visible signs that something is wrong. And then that person who detects that, they should be able to come to them and have a spirit or a feeling of caring. How are you today? You know, it's how we approach that person. How are you today? Okay, is there something that I can do for you? I mean, again, I keep dealing with trust factors today. Okay, I deal with women. I deal with teenagers, and it always comes back down to, I don't know if I can talk to you. Okay, I'm scared to tell you what's going on in my home. Okay, but let the Spirit of God, you know, help you. Okay, to understand the symptoms. Okay, and allow the Spirit of God to minister, you know, one by one. And I guarantee you, that woman, her eyes will be so lit up, probably not even say a word, but just the light in that woman's eye, just to know that you care or you see
yeah.
what's going on. And I can't really say anything, but you see what's
yes.
going on.
Yes.
That right there is important, and that's the breaking right there.
My God. My God. And that's the signs of someone being abused, that they're in a relationship with someone who's controlling. When you don't see that person as often as you would, changes in behavior, most of the things, they begin to self-doubt, double talk, you know, not really sure about themselves anymore. And
tattoos is a good one. Tattoos.
And,
oh, when you see somebody all tattooed, oh, yes. Oh, a cover-up. Oh, God.
Tattoos. My God. Bruises, look for bruises and tattoos and nervousness. That's another thing when they're just nervous. And then Pastor Carson, you gave us some tips on even helping those persons to lovingly, you know, show love. Lovingly help that person. Show them that you see. Show them that you care. And then develop trust. You know,
yeah.
get the person's trust.
Very important.
Powerful. And then
that is powerful.
Lisa, yes, and I'm going to give it back to you, Tina. But Prophetess Lalisa, I want you to give us, Pastor Carson has given us signs of someone who is being abused. I want you to talk to us about signs that someone has a tendency to be abusive. Minister Lalisa.
Amen. The last time I had called by her, her phone had dropped.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Now
you're on air. Yes.
You can hear. Okay.
Now I can hear. I just started hearing you, so you have to start over if you were talking already.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'm something. You know how.
Linda, you are missing a good one.
Who is? Okay.
Jesus.
Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Who is
they
that?
Can still hear me?
Oh, amen. I like that. That's all right.
I'm trying to pass the mic.
Amen.
Who is this?
This is Taryn still listening.
Don't hang up. I'm going to mute your line. Don't hang up.
Okay.
But, yeah, you keep telling people. You keep telling them to tune in. Amen. I'm going to mute your line right now. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, go ahead. Yes. Amen. Praise God. God. We're doing something right.
To God be the glory. Yes.
Go ahead, Mr. LaLisa.
Well, yes. You said, yes, some of the signs that the person that you're about to get involved with could be an abuser. One, if you are with someone, and these, again, this is based on statistics and research. They've researched many people that have been abused and even some of those abusers. But one of the main signs is a person that is controlling. Controlling is the key word, even sometimes more so over anger. Because sometimes a person could be angry, but they do not take their anger out on others. I get angry. Even the Bible says get angry, but sin not. So, but controlling is definitely a main factor. You know, being manipulative. Now, we know that that manipulation, we know the Bible tells us that is straight of the devil. So for a person who's trying to control and manipulate you, telling you what to wear, women think that's cute. Ooh, he told me to wear this. He told me to wear that. And particularly more young girls, more so, because a lot of times the first types of abuse can start when a girl is very young. It's teenagers start dating, whatever. But what to wear. When to talk to your friends. Oh, you don't need to call her. Oh, you shouldn't hang with her. Oh, you shouldn't be with him. And again, we mistake that for this person cares so much about me. But a person shouldn't care about you even more than they care about their own self. So a person who is so controlling over you, but then their own life might be a little messy or out of control. These are some signs that this person, these are warning signs. It's not to say that a controlling person is going to hit you or talk down to you or any of the other forms of abuse, but these are warning signs that as women go, and we know men are also abused, but go and talk to a leader, go talk to your mentor, your mother, your aunt, or someone else. So that controlling, telling you where to go, where they think you should go, controlling your emotions even. Like there are some people, they want you to go to all of their events, but they don't want to go to yours. So that's a big one. A person showing some type of displeasure with what you're doing or displeasure with something you said, okay? They don't like when you say certain things. That's one of the signs. Sometimes when young people begin to date, or any woman for that matter, when a man gives you too much too soon, he doesn't even know you, and he's already buying you expensive jewelry, expensive clothing, paying your bills. Why? Because those are some tactics for later and more control. Amen? So, you know, those are some of the signs. Certainly signs like, you know, oh, if he's jealous, the jealous thing, that's one of the signs that the person put on me right away. Very jealous. They don't want you talking to no one. Don't want you looking at no one. Of course, any put-downs in front of other people or behind the scene or in front of the scene. But certainly someone who puts you down in front of other people, especially early on, that's another control factor. Because if I can put you down in front of others and make you feel insecure, make you feel bad about yourself, that's a way of putting you in emotional or mental abuse right away.
Wow.
Those
wow.
Are, So that's just a few. I could go on for hours about other of these signs and how these signs play out and how they seem so innocent and how many of these signs we think this means that he cares. And he must love me if he's calling me every hour. Because, and I ain't never had nobody to call me that much. I never had no man to worry about where I am 24 hours a day. And next thing you know, now he is stalking me. Or now he's following me around and things like that.
Wow. So watch the signs, ladies. Watch the signs before we even end men. And men, she's calling you every 10 minutes. Where you at? Where you at? Where you at? Then, you know, and I'm laughing, but it's really not funny. You know there's a problem, you know, that person has some esteem issues. That person has some value, self-value issues. And if they don't feel worthless, if they don't feel like they have value, they're not going to be able to treat you like you have value. You know, if someone is obsessive or obsessed with you, and you become their life, that state. Now, there's some relationships where the person could be very close to you and it won't be abusive, but these are some of the sure signs to look for before entering into a relationship with a person. Take your time. Don't be so quick to run into a relationship. You know, just take your time. Get to know the person. Before you actually find yourself in bed with him even. You know, because once we get in bed with a person, our emotions are all wrapped up. That's it. He got you. You know, she has you because especially women, when we get sexually involved with a person, our emotions are all wrapped up in that person. And then the person has us strung out in the sex area, and then they slap us, and then they want to come back and hold us, you know, and then they'll tell us how much they love us and make love to us again. And it's crazy. It's just a crazy roller coaster ride to be in an abusive relationship. And you got to free yourself. The preacher said it. Free yourself. Get out the pit. Set yourself free. I'm going to turn it back over to Tina Lane. And then we'll take one more call. I see one more hand raised. Let me take this call, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Tina Lane. Area code 973, your hand is raised. Welcome to the Woman to Woman broadcast, our panel discussion here.
Is that me? 973.
Hello,
Becky.
Yes.
How you doing,
did
Becky?
Did you have your hand raised? Did you
want to
be on the air?
Yes, I called in, and I just wish y'all a happy day today, having a blessed day myself. And I was listening at y'all talking about domestic violence. I don't know too much about domestic violence, but I see a lot of it going on out here. I'm not for domestic violence, but I wasn't abused in no kind of way, form or fashion, either by mother or father, by anyone else. You know, and I just feel bad because it shouldn't be going on at all, you know. And for the kids, they see this, you know, mothers and fathers and girlfriend and boyfriend, it's real sad. It's just heartbreaking, you know. And I wish that it would never exist, you know, but they have to do something about it. You know, they're not talking about it. They have to do something about it. You know, that's
what
I'm The whole world has to do something about it, you know, because you have it on TV all day. You got cable, it's on cable all day. You're showing the domestic violence on TV constantly. You know, we just don't pick it up from your insiders, from your mother and your father. You pick it up from TV, watching TV, you know, your next door neighbor, you know, you pick it up from everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
And I just want to just say.
Yeah, it's
right. Right, you know. I just want to say,
you know.
Right. Right.
We have to do something about it, not just talk about it. You said something there, Ali. We have to do something about it, not just talk about it, but do something about it. And that's why we're here, because we got to talk about it, though, before we can do anything about it. And what we want to do is strike up an awareness and let women and men know, because, you know, men are being abused, too, and let women and men know that they don't have to live like that, you know, whether you're the abuser or the abused.
you don't have to live in that type of fear or intimidation. You don't have to live getting hurt by somebody who says they love you. If you
right.
love a person, love is not violent. Love does not hit and kick and spit on you and call you outside of your name. That's not love.
Right, that's right. But it might, but also it might start out, you know, sweet, you know, but then it ends up sour, you know?
Yes. Yes. And that's what our panelists are saying. So we're so glad you called in and that you're listening. God bless you. Good to hear from you. Glad you tuned in. Stay tuned, okay?
Yeah, I will.
Amen. God bless you, my brother. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. The people are listening. And that's one thing the brother said. He said we have to not just talk about it, but we have to do something about it. And that's what we're here for. This is a call to action. We need to be doing something. So, Tina, I'm going to turn it back over to you. So, and if we get any more calls, I'll come in. But I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Amen, Pastor Rebecca. I like the brother who just called in saying we have to do something about it, and that's what we're doing today. This is a call to action. And I just want to piggyback 1 second on what Coach Lisa and Pastor Carson was talking about in reference to just the signs, some of the symptoms, jealousy, a person being manipulative, controlling. These are some of the things that our youth are going through today. There are new situations where they're going out there and they're dating. They think it's okay to get the tattoo of the person on their body. They think it's okay that the person's calling them every day. So we have to begin to also educate our youth so they will now be able to know the difference between what is love and what is possessiveness. So I thank you for giving those signs. I want to ask Sister Gazelle Simmons a question. I'm going to ask you a question. Can you please just elaborate again on how children are affected by battering and domestic violence?
One of the first things as a child growing up was hearing arguments, hearing loud voices. Were shot as a small child because you never knew when someone was going to throw something. When a fight would start, when an argument would start, in private, public, in cars, even in as simple as walking out of church, could start something at any time. And you literally walk around tense, waiting for the next incident, the next unexpected incident. You are constantly looking for the next moment of violence that's going to occur. As a child, because I was a victim of this violence, my natural mother, up until she left when I was 11, for any particular reason, would, you know, pick up something and hit you with it. You know, if she was having a rough day, if, you know, she had an argument and Dad stormed out, you were the next victim, and you never knew when it was going to come. So living with that kind of tension, with that kind of stress, one of the ways I reacted to my stress was I bit my fingers. And I bit my nails and my fingers to the point where they bled on a regular basis. When you see a child and you're wondering what is wrong with that child's behavior, some of it can be something that's going on at home. I've had people, you know, say to me, "Are you all right?" Someone dropped a book in school and I burst out crying and no one could figure out why. Because, again, I thought at school I wasn't going to have to prepare for the unexpected. And just the dropping of a book and the sound of this book hitting the floor sent me into tears. These are the things that affect the children that people say, "Oh, well, you know, it's not bothering the kids." Actually, it is. It has an effect, and it carries with them. When I got married, when my ex-husband would start to yell, I would get quiet. I would withdraw. I would get very silent. I didn't say anything. I didn't argue back with him. You know, we just let him run till he ran out of steam, which probably prevented it from escalating to a more physical, but it was still an emotional. I mean, there were times I dreaded going home. I mean, I would sit in the car willing myself to get out and go in the house and deal with more of this. Wake up in the morning not happy to be awake. I would wake up for dreams where I was having a really nice dream and wake up and go, "Dang, I got to get started with another day of this crap." And that's not how you're supposed to look forward to your day. So those were the kind of things that were residual. I mean, even as a child, we didn't look forward to the weekend because that meant you were home for 2 days with very violent parents and anything could happen. No one looked forward to Friday. We looked forward to Monday where we could go to school for 8 or 9 hours and be away from all of this.
Wow.
People say to me, you know, why was it home a safe place? Home wasn't a safe place because my parents were alcoholics, neither of which were saved. They weren't in church, and they were living life, and it was affecting us. And one of the things I never wanted for my children was for that to trickle down. As a new mother, you have a lot of new fears and things that you're expecting. My biggest fear as a new mother was that my child would cry in the night and I wouldn't hear her, because as a young child, I slept so soundly because of all the noise. I mean, I slept through hurricanes. There were explosions and gunfire. I slept through it all because as a small child, I was conditioned the only way to sleep was to tune it all out.
Wow.
So here you have this baby, and your biggest fear is you won't hear this child cry in the night.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things you carry with you from your childhood, and you don't want to pass those on. But, again, my parents divorced. I thought, okay, fine, all of this is over. No. Dad married my new stepmother, and it started all over again. So, you know, you're thinking, you know, I thought I was getting away from that, and here it is rearing its ugly head. My father had anger management issues. And when my children was young, one of the first things I discovered was when I felt myself getting angry, I would send them to their room. People were like, why are you sending them to the room? I said, because I need to calm down, because I don't want to be that person for them.
Okay.
I need to be able to step back, get a hold of myself, and not pass this on, which was something my father never did. You know, he got angry. TVs were broke, windows were broke, mirrors were broke, any glasses were broke, dishes were broke. You grew up in a home, there's no complete set of dishes because something has been thrown and broken at any given moment. When you grow up, you make choices. And one of my first choices was, I can't do this to my kids.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
And in seeking help and, you know, being able to say to others, you know, it's a choice. You knew how you grew up. You knew what you didn't enjoy. Those are the things you don't want to pass on. So I spent a lot of time, you know, trying to make their lives better and also trying not to repeat the pattern as far as, you know, picking the wrong man. Again, when I hear people say, you know, what are the signs? With my first husband, I was already just broke up from a long-term relationship, so I really wasn't in any position to get involved with a new relationship, but I did anyway. And he was. He was very controlling, had to know where I was every moment of every day. And to say I didn't see it and know what it was would be a lie. I did see it. I did know what it was. I recognized it from my own childhood and, you know, and walked in anyway. But what I did realize was the first time I came away with a bruise, the first thing I thought of was, my biological mother said to me, if a man hits you once, he's never going to stop. One bruise,
walk
away. Wow.
And I remember, I mean, and she's telling me this as she's down on her knees holding her stomach with her hand on the wall because she's just gotten a blow. She was like, if he ever hits you once, he's not going to stop. You need to go.
Wow.
And I ran. I mean, I picked up and ran. I took him to work that morning. Told him I wouldn't be home. When he got home, he got out of the vehicle. I went home, and within 3 hours, I was gone. I ran. I'll tell anybody, you know, at some point, there's no such thing. It's not cowardice to pick up your things and your children and run. And don't run, you know, as some people go, well, I'm going to go across town. No, I went completely across the state. Change your phone number, change your job, change your friends. Do whatever you have to get away from this person. Because sometimes it's better to run than to stay and die.
Wow.
And, you know, he was just arguing, you know, we were just having an argument, we were just yelling, you know. But if an argument leads to one of you walking away with a bruise, you're on a downward spiral that's not going to get better unless the two of you get help.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Because
that's what Erin Booker was saying, that she had
I didn't mean to cut you off, Michelle, but that's powerful right there, because
yes.
That's what Taryn Booker was saying, that she and her husband both are getting help. And that is just so powerful what you just said. So, but somebody has to make that first move to get out so that the other person can realize that they need help.
I mean, and some people, again, if that's all they know, that, you know, you don't have a lot of places saying this is where you should go for help and these are the people you talk to and this is how you should get out. I didn't ask anyone. I just ran because I knew staying from my childhood, I knew staying wasn't going to make it any better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I fully realized that, you know, changing spouses didn't help anything. You know, my father had two very radically different women, and he beat them both. So, I mean, the issue was his and his alone. He never addressed it. So, you know, we have someone who refuses to acknowledge I have a problem, who, you know, you can't talk to them, you can't make any reason, and they're getting progressively worse, then it's time to go. I mean, and my children right now tell me all the time, we're so glad you set an example. Don't just do what I say, but do what I do. When it comes to the point where someone's putting their hands on you, I mean, even to verbal abuse, because I've had people that just want to stand and yell at you and yell at you and yell at you, and they're constantly beating you down and, you know, telling you you're less than and you're nobody. And again, emotional abuse, while it doesn't have physical signs, is still just abuse.
Yeah.
It's not,
yeah.
You know, he's mad at me or, you know, I upset him. It's a question of, when this person finished talking to you, do you feel worse than you did when you started? If
amen.
So,
and that's a good thing to add, because we have to know that abuse goes beyond the physical. So, Gazelle, thank you so much for that, that great answer, elaboration on the effect and the impact of abuse on children, because we as children, we do what we learn to do. Thank you so much for that. And we needed that, to know that our children are being impacted. Tina, I'm going to turn it back over to you. It's amazing how fast time is going, because we only have about 40 more minutes. And we haven't even scratched the surface. We haven't even scratched the surface. If you have any questions, I see some more hands raised. Amen. We're going to take this call. Area code 918, welcome to the panel discussion. Women, you don't have to live like that. God bless you.
How you doing?
Good. How are you doing, sir?
All right. My name is Ivan up from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I had a question. Do you all deal with, I know it's unfortunate, I grew up in a home where domestic violence was the order of the day, but my question is, because there's a lot of men now that are suffering from domestic violence from females, do you all deal with those issues and help men with that as well? Help men get help with that?
What is that,
men dealing with
a lot of men. 25% of the cases is reported to the police now with domestic violence of females on males. Do you all
wow.
deal with those issues as well?
Yeah. Dana, I'm going to ask you to answer the brother's question, and then anybody else who has a response to him. I'm sure Minister Lalise or Pastor Carson has a response. So we'll start with Dana.
Dana?
Okay. Dana,
I'm
you
sorry.
There?
I'm here. I missed his question. I only heard the last part of what he said.
Are we helping men? What do we have to say to men who are dealing with domestic violence, where females are actually beating on men? He
yes.
says 25% of the cases reported are men who are dealing with domestic violence issues. I think it's a very good question,
mm-hmm.
my brother.
Yes, it is.
Yes. It is a very good question, and I would actually like to say this. 25% are reported, but I'll bet you that it's 50% or more altogether, because there are some things that, you know, men may or may not say. There are some things where men will just get out of the situation without even, you know, thinking of letting someone know, hey, somebody's abusing me in some way, shape, or form. What I would personally say, because I have been the abuser to the men is that there is always, on the worldly end, because this is the part of me that's hurting my heart so bad right now. On the worldly end, there's always a way out. You know, when someone, we've had this conversation before, when someone goes to hit you, man or woman, you know, abuse you in any kind of way, find a way to get out. There's always a way to get out. But also for me, let me say this. My husband didn't leave me. He's not a man who knows God completely. He's not a man who walks with God. He's not a saved man. He's not that Christian, let me say that, okay? But my husband didn't leave me. He had an opportunity to leave me 100 times since we've been together, and he did not. Why did he not? Because somewhere deep down inside, he loved me and knew enough that this was not just someone who wanted to beat me and make me feel bad. There was something wrong with her, but he didn't know how to handle it. What I say to a man is, if that's what's in the back of your head or if that's what's in your heart, somewhere down the line you have to decide, okay, one, I need to get some kind of spiritual connection and have somebody help me to help her. Because even if I decide to divorce or leave the relationship, it's not going to change her. And for me, looking at it at that aspect, that's going to help the abuser more so than let me just get myself out of a situation. They're not going to change. I don't know what's wrong with them. Why? Because somewhere down the line, we have to decide that, one, I can't keep doing this, but also I can't keep doing it. I can't let the next man be beat up either. It comes down to, can I think about another person besides me? For the man that's being hurt, do you know, sir, how many times I continuously pray, not just for the Lord changing me, but for the fact that I hurt my husband and any other man that saw me? You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
ma'am. It bothers me so, because you're talking about there's children in the home 9 times out of 10, and 9 times out of 10, those children are young men. What are they seeing? They're seeing either my dad is weak, either my dad is weak, or something is seriously wrong with my mama.
Wow. Okay. There you were saying.
Go ahead, Bianca. Go ahead. You had something to say?
Well,
the reason I'm asking that, because I have a friend, I deal with these issues. I have a friend, or a couple. I have one friend. He's in a relationship. You know, now we're both martial arts experts. He could polarize his wife if he wanted to. I mean, this man fights for a living. But and that's the thing about it. He actually does mixed martial arts. That's what he does for a living. And you would think that a man that does it for a living wouldn't be in a situation like that, and that's what's so weird about it. Matter of fact, he talked to me about it last night. The problem that a lot of men have, because when men go to the police, he deals with two things. Either he's a punk if he hits back, or he's a coward if he don't hit back. Or you let a woman, and that's that a lot of men get laughed at when they go to the police station to report it. Because some men do report it.
So it's
a psychological thing, and I really don't know how to. I don't know how to help him, because he talks to me about it. We work together, and he talked to me. He said, "This is what he told me last night. Before he came to work last night, his wife jumped on him, and he said for the first time in 5 years he struck back. And he didn't hit her, but he picked her up and he threw her because she hit him in his eye." And so he said, man, he went and got him a hotel. He went and rented him a hotel out for a whole week. And so, you know, I mean, and I know it's just a matter of time. If she hits him again, mentally, he's going to go off if he's never hit her back. So I don't know how to help. But I don't know what to do to help him, though.
I think the same action, the same action when you're talking to a woman, telling a woman what to do, okay, it's the same thing. Leave, okay? It is time to leave.
Wait, Dana, let Pastor Carson finish. Go ahead, Pastor Carson.
The man.
Wait a minute. Let Pastor Carson finish, and you're going to have an opportunity to speak again. Go ahead, Pastor Carson.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
I know a man, too, who has been suffering so much
with this woman, with this woman. She's very oppressive. Oh, she's controlling over him, and he wound up drinking. Okay. Now I was called in to talk to him, and I had told him that it's time to leave the house. Okay, like you said, like you told the other man, go to the hotel. Go to the hotel and stay there. You have to be safe. He has to be safe. Report it. It's the same action that you would tell a woman. Talk to someone about it, because there is help, but it is limited help. Okay? And I recognize that, too, because one of the things that we're doing in our ministry is dealing with men that are being battered. And there is not a lot of assistance for a man, because they feel as though a man should be stronger than that, okay? But not so. This man, your friend that you're saying that he's in martial arts, you know, he was taught to be humble, okay? Martial arts is a disciplined art. So that's why he allowed that to happen, you know, with his wife, because it's a disciplined art. Okay, but here you have to let him know that he has to leave the premises and seek help, seek counseling, so that he won't hurt himself by staying in that situation. Period.
Yeah, because if he—that's the thing I'm worried about. It. What I'm worried about more than anything.
He has to leave. Yeah, because he won't hurt himself.
Wait a minute. One second.
And I tell you, the police is not fair. That's just how it is. The police is not fair. I'm sorry to say that, you know, but they have to leave and find a safe place. So when you begin to find somebody to talk with, then you will get assistance in assessing the situation. Okay, because you have to do something about it. You just can't stay there and get beaten up. You know, you have to assess it and figure out what to do. And with that, you need to talk to somebody. You need the support. You need the network. And listen, here's a plan of action that I need to do. Oh, I love my wife. I love my wife. I don't want to leave my wife. But there's something that has to happen. He would say, you know, I love you so much, okay? And I want our marriage to stay intact, but something has to happen.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm afraid of it. And he's gonna snap, and if he snaps, then she doesn't have a chance if he snaps.
Yeah, that's why he has to leave. He has to jump ship. Okay, and let things simmer down. But as things simmer down, he needs to talk to somebody so he can assess the situation and figure out what to do. You can't figure out what to do when you're in the midst of something. Okay, all you is trying to, you're looking left and you're looking right so you won't get hit. You can't think rational like that. You have to get out of the situation, talk to someone, okay, so that they can provide somewhere for him to go, okay, a friend, a family, okay, just like you,
yeah.
A friend or a family, a place to go so that, okay, this is what I need to do. I want my marriage. I love my wife. Okay, but I got to figure out how to understand, you know, how to get this marriage together without me being beaten up so much. Get the support. He needs his support.
Yes.
Amen. And let me add to that. Let me add to that. I heard what you said, Minister Dana Neal, and your husband, I mean, God gave you grace. He gave you grace that man did not leave and that he did not pick up his hand and hit you back. He gave you grace in the fact that your husband is still there. God gave you grace. But what Minister Carson is saying, that's the advice that we have to give any person. Well, our responsibility is to give the person the advice that's going to keep that person safe. And not only keep that person safe, but keep the abuser safe. Because there are so many cases when someone has picked up something in self-defense, picked up a gun or a knife, in this case, this man, his hands are a lethal weapon, and killed that person, killed the person who was beating on them. So for this very sake of your friend's life, this man's friend's life, and his wife's life, and if there are any children involved,
the best thing for them to do. Are the children involved?
Yes, you said
they have two children. Yeah, two small children.
See, the best thing for them to do is to separate. We're not talking about divorce. I'm a pastor, and Pastor Carson's a pastor. We're not saying divorce your wife, for the man to divorce his wife, but we're saying for him to draw the line in the sand. Listen, woman, I'm not going to put up with you beating me anymore. You know, either we're going to live together peacefully or we're not going to live together at all. You know, that's what the line has to be drawn. And he has to stand up and say, you get some help. I love you enough to separate from you so that we can both get the help. Dana, you will admit it, and I know that everybody will agree, there is something wrong with the abuser to make the abuser feel like they need to beat somebody. There's something wrong inside of that person, and that person needs help, like you said, Dana, so that the next person doesn't get beat. But I'm not going to stand up and be beaten just so the next woman won't get beat. I'm going to leave. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to counsel you and help you to try to get you some help. But if you refuse to help yourself, then you're not going to beat on me. And that's what the stance that each person who's in a relationship like this has to take a stand and say, I value myself enough to say I cannot let you beat me like this. And I value the fact that I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to go to jail for killing you, for hitting me. So this brother has to is he a Christian brother?
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
Can I say one thing?
And the church would just tell him, yes, let me just say this. And the church has to go to his pastor and tell his leadership. It might be hard because he's a man. So, but at least he has you. Thank God he has you. But tell somebody what's going on and get some godly counsel. There's safety in the multitude of counselors. Dana, go ahead.
I just want to say this one thing and then I'm done. I would ask you, young man, to please talk to your friend and ask him why he even stayed this long.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, there is a problem with the abuser. I've been the abuser. I know that there was a problem, okay? So, yes, there's a problem with the abuser. I'm not going to deny that. But find out from him why he even stayed. I look at my husband and I say, why did you stay? And sometimes he says, I don't know. But he still continues to look at me and say, yes, it was God's grace, because you're talking about a man who was not saved. So if this man has some kind of godly connection, there's something in him that allowed him to stay through this last incident that happened last night. That will help him leave. That will help him help her get help. That will help him get help. It goes a lot further than what's on the surface, and that's all I'm trying to say. I'm not trying
to
disregard anybody that's been abused. I'm not trying to disregard anyone that's been hurt. I'm not trying to disregard any of the children, especially because, see, we have four kids in the house.
Yes.
Get some help.
I'm not trying to disregard any of that.
But he has to get out.
Yes.
Somebody get hurt. It's already gotten to the point where he's hitting back, where he's ready to hit back.
I don't think you understand. I understand that, but
to get to the deeper part of it,
just say, ask him.
Ask the question.
Because
I heard what you said. Ask the question. Go ahead and ask the question, but it doesn't matter at this point. He needs to leave.
Violence is a crime.
I don't even care why you stayed. All I say is you need to get some help. She needs to get some help. And those children need counseling.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. You know, you got to get out. It's only God's grace and mercy. It's only God's grace and mercy that you and your husband are still together and that you didn't kill each other, that somebody didn't get hurt. Because there are women dying every day. There are men dying every day. And we have this conversation. We can have it around the block all day long. But my stance remains the same. No one should stay in the home where they are being physically beaten. It's got to get to the point where the buck stops here. Get out. Stay married.
We're still together, baby, but you got to get some help. I'm leaving here. I'm going to be praying for you.
Yes.
I told him to go to the hotel, rather than go home last night. I told him to get him a room because he was still mad when he was talking to me about it. He was hurt because it's the first time he ever did anything. In 5 years, he said it's the first time he ever did anything. He said, but when she hit him in his eye, because he competes, but it was a reaction. When she hit him in his eye, that was a reaction like he's in a fight.
That stuff was built up in him. It could have been worse. Somebody could have been dead last night.
Yeah, and he said he picked her up. He said he picked her up and he threw her all the way across the room.
And we have to do this. I mean, we have our personal experiences. I hit my husband one time. Well, no, I didn't hit. No, I probably did hit him. I wanted to fight him. I wanted to fight my husband because my father beat my mother up. And I've seen my mother with shades to cover black eyes. And I thought that fighting was the way to go. Like Dana, you know, I grew up in the household and I was abused. You know, I was molested. I had all kinds of messed up issues, low self-esteem, a lot of stuff going on the inside of me. And I fought my first husband, and he fought me back. And one day I was looking up at him. I was on the floor. He was on top of me, and he had an iron raised up, an iron that you iron your clothes with, and he was getting ready to come down and smash my face with that iron. It was only the grace of God that stopped him from smashing my face then. But it was my fault because I was fighting him. You see what I'm saying? And I almost died that day on that floor in my living room with my ex-husband. And that's what I'm saying. I pushed that man to the limit because he was a gentleman and he didn't want to fight me. But when I got into this marriage, I tried to fight my husband again. And he said, I don't know what kind of Negroes, he didn't say Negroes, he said the N-word. He said, I don't know what kind of Negroes you've been dealing with. He said, but I am not going to put my hands on you. And then another time he told me, he said, when you do that, baby, you emasculate me. You strip me of my manhood. When you fight me like this, when you try to push up in my face, when you get in my face, he said, you strip me of my manhood. And that's what we as women have to be mindful. Listen, we don't want anybody to do it to us, and we have to be mindful not to want to do it to them. I've been on both sides of the spectrum, but what I'm saying today is, as a professional, we have to save lives. You know, too many times the church is covering this thing up and saying, well, go and pray. Well, yeah, go and pray, but get yourself to a safe place. That's what I'm saying. I will not tell anybody to stay in a violent situation, in a violent household where you are being beaten. And this brother, he's at the end of his rope. He is at the point breaking, and he doesn't want to regret anything. You love her. He loves his wife, obviously. That's why he's still there, and he sees the good in her. But in spite of the good in her, there is some evil inherent. There's a devil that's driving her.
Well, she grew up in a violent home. And she grew up, like he just said, she grew up in a home where domestic violence was real bad, too. And see, with me, I've never been an abuser. What I did in relationships, and I'm healing of it now, and I used to let women cross the line, and I'd never hit a woman, but I would explode after a period of time, and they would leave because, I move stuff around. I would never hit a woman, but I tried for many years overcompensating, trying to be like my father so much that I would let women cross the line about what I put my foot down, and when I decided to, I would explode. And so I had to learn from over. I've gotten over that, but it took a long time to get past that, though.
Yeah, so you have had some experiences, you know, you can relate. You can relate to what this brother's going through. Minister Lalisa, you've been quiet. Do you have anything to add to what we've been saying so far? I know you have a situation where the Lord saved your marriage even, and maybe not for the same reason, but what can you say to this brother to give some advice to his friend?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yes, we can hear you.
Can you hear? Okay, yes. Oh, God bless. I'm in awe, and for the man who feels controlled and manipulated and intimidated from a woman that would do those things. I think the advice that you all are giving him, or the suggestions, certainly go talk to a trained professional. Go talk to a trained. There are today in many cities, and especially here in Newark, New Jersey, and other parts of New Jersey, where the domestic violence bureaus are training ministers in the church. One of the reasons why the church a lot of times wasn't always a good help because they had not been trained in specific domestic violence tactics and strategies against it. And so while, yes, the Word of God we can tell us to go and pray, but you also need to understand some other dynamics behind the prayer, like the fact that a person may not want to leave because
right.
I think the person's going to get better. Or like a woman, I may not want to go because I don't want my children to be raised without a mother and father. Or I'm not going to go because I need his part of the income or I need her part of the income. Or there's a status symbol or whatever. And that can sometimes go beyond somebody telling you to go pray. And so, but then there's all those other dynamics with abusers or the person being abused. A lot of times it can come from the fact that they did see it themselves as youth or they experienced it as children. And so there's so many other dynamics, and I think that's the most important thing to tell this young man. It's one thing for us to be a friend and to be able to comfort them, so to speak, but we must be bold enough and brave enough to tell them to go get trained professional. They don't have to go see a psychiatrist per se. But nowadays, it is a lot of people like myself and the others who are on the line that have gone through the 40 hours domestic violence training prevention. And a lot of that training prevention can be used on males or females. But in the class I was in, there were males there because a man knows better how a man is feeling inside. It's not that a woman can't know. But a man has to deal with that masculine issue, whereas the woman, even though women have a masculine side, yes. But I'm just saying, if I'm going to be a woman counseling a man, I would go call up one of the people that was in my class who was a male who in the class, and maybe we'll do it together, you know, or something like that. We can deal with, so we don't take that man's manhood. And even though he might have been abused, that he can still feel good. At the end of the day, the bottom line is, afterwards, we want that man to still feel like a man. We want him to still be able to hold his head up. Even if he has to, even if he shares his story or he never shares his story, he should still be able to walk and feel whole and cleansed. And know what happened to him. He didn't cause it. You know, it wasn't his lack of manhood that caused it or his insecurities or whatever, but that he could go forward. So, but I just thank God. I thank God for the men, you know, calling. We know for a man, I know it's hard. Like with my husband and my marriage, there were problems. There were problems of abuse, and there were things that my husband probably still to this day can't talk about that even might have happened to him as a child. But the thing is, like you said, Pastor Rebecca and others, you know, and Pastor Neil and Pastor Carson and whoever else was talking, I didn't get all the names, but, you know, go as a, you know, to two people go get help, even if you don't go together first. Both people.
Well, that's
you know,
what I'm going to try to do then, because I say that I've been trying to, you know, because he trusts me. That's why he talks. He hasn't really talked to anybody else about it.
Yeah.
And so I told him that I would try to get him some help, but. And that's the thing. One of the things that he did say to me last night, he said, man, he said, I know I ain't no punk. The most dangerous thing in the world is a man who feels like his manhood has been stripped.
Maybe you can go get the training. Maybe you can inbox, you know, Pastor Rebecca or whomever else you know on this call, inbox us, you know, in confidentiality, find out what city, what state you're in, and let people like, you know, Tina Lane, myself, Pastor Rebecca, Pastor Carr, others who might be able to better find out who in your city or your town can give you the training, even if you just use it for your one friend. You know, it might be worth it, you know, to get. The training is always free. It doesn't cost you anything. But at least you'll you'll be able to say the right things to him, and so that we're not just talking off of our head knowledge, trying to help them, which really won't help at all.
Well, that's what I've done. Is I haven't just tried to use my own, you know, I'll suggest to him, and I told him that I would try to help him because I had a young lady friend who unfortunately got killed. She wasn't the violent one. They were both violent, and he ended up killing her. And so I'm looking at this situation, and the situation is very similar. And so I'm comparing it. It seems like it's just not a coincidence that this one came back around again in my life where there was an individual where there was a potential for a killing and it took place. Some of the same things that existed in that relationship is different, and so I'm determined, you know, to help him the best way I can, because I know her too. I don't know her as well as I know him, but I know her too. She's a nice young woman. I didn't even know she was that. I just found out here about 6 months ago that she was even violent like that. I never even knew it. I've been knowing this man for 4 years. I never even knew she was that violent like that because he never said nothing. It was just in the last 6 months that he'd been telling me that he just revealed to me how violent she was. And it was just hard for me to believe because she's so nice and calm and cool all the time. But that's just in front of us, though.
Right.
So I appreciate it. I'm going to do my very best to help. I'm going to do my very best to help because last night, you know, I saw a different man last night when he came to work. I saw a man who was ready, you know, for what and he had tears in his eyes. He was about to cry because he said, I feel bad that I even threw her, because he said when he threw her, she hit her head against the wall, on the floorboard of the wall when he threw her. So he was already feeling bad. You know, he's feeling bad about it, but I saw a man on the edge last night, and that's what I'm worried about.
Amen. Well, let us pray for your friend. Can you guys hear me okay? Pastor Anthony told me I had static. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Pastor.
Okay, let us pray for your friend. And then we want to give you a number, 1-800-799, what is it, Tina, 7233?
Yes.
1-800-799-7.
That's the National Domestic Violence Hotline.
What's the number, Tina?
One second.
You called that number, brother?
Yes, ma'am. We have I'm familiar with that number. We have that number familiar right here in Tulsa, too. I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay.
That's where I'm at.
Yes, it's a national hotline. And so, you know, if you need somebody else to give you professional counsel,
yes,
would be a good place to start. And again, what you heard us say, you know, show your brother that you care. Show your friend that you care, that what you have. Be there to talk to him and let him know, you know, that you understand, and pray with him. You know, you're both Christians, so you'll be able to just pray with the brother and give him godly counsel. You know, advise him to get help for himself and to get help for his wife. Take her to, if they want to try to stay together and resolve, and they do, go to marriage counseling. I don't know if they've been to counseling, but she needs anger management. She needs to figure out why she's so upset. She probably has been hurt in her childhood, so now she's carrying this hurt into her relationship with your friend. So she's hurting. Hurting people hurt people. She is hurting.
Yeah.
There's something in her that has gone wrong. And they could start with marriage counseling. He can tell her, baby, we need to just separate for a little while, or maybe sleep in different rooms. I don't know. Whatever, let him pray and ask God. But the advice that professionals will give you is for them to separate and get to a safe place. And that's why I stand on that, because if she's been doing this for 5 years, then she needs something to make her stop and pay attention. So maybe him leaving her would make her say, you know what, I need to change. I need to change my behavior. I need to get some help. So let us pray.
Right.
Pastor, prophetess, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Amen. Okay, we're going to pray for your, I was looking for prophetess, amen. I want her to pray for your friend and his wife. Prophetess, I want you just to lift up this brother, his friend, and his wife.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, we come to you right now, oh God. We come to you on behalf of this man and this woman, oh God, this wife, this couple, oh God. We thank you for knowing, oh God, that you do all things decently and in order, oh God. Lord, we thank you for this union, oh God, that you have allowed to come together, oh God. And even in the midst of going through this situation, oh God, we know that you're a restorer. We know that you're able to heal and deliver. Lord, we ask that you would just touch this man, oh God, wherever he is, oh God, even the battles that he's dealing with, oh God, even the struggles, oh God, that he's feeling, oh God. We thank you for knowing that he is able to turn to you for all all things, oh God. Lord, we ask that you would just courage his heart, encourage his spirit, man, oh God. Continue to, oh God, speak to her. Speak to his mind, oh God. Lord, we ask that you would just minister to the deep wounds, oh God, that he's carrying, oh God. We ask that you would just speak, oh God, to the inward parts of him, oh God, that don't know what's going on. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask that you would even just touch his wife, oh God. Touch his wife, oh God, even in the condition he is in, oh God. We don't know what has led her, hallelujah, to her and her deeds, oh God, but we thank you for knowing that you're able to heal and deliver. Lord, set her free, oh God. Set the captive free, oh God. We bind up the demonic forces, oh God, hallelujah, that are ever prevalent in her life, oh God. We ask that you would just, oh God, allow her to humble herself down, oh God, under your mighty hand so that you can exalt, oh God, and deliver in your time, oh God. Lord, we ask that you would just stir up, oh God. Stir up, oh God, the inward parts, oh God, those things, oh God, hallelujah, that she might have experienced, oh God, and gone through her childhood. Lord, we ask that you would just bring about healing, bring about deliverance, oh God, hallelujah. We ask that you would just put the actions of the enemy to flight, oh God, and we ask that you would just allow your anointing and your glory, your spirit, oh God, to overtake her, oh God. Touch her, God, from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, oh God. We thank you for knowing that you're able to go into the root of the matter, oh God. Have your way, have your way, have your way in this woman's life, oh God. Even have your way, oh God, in the life of the victim and the abuser. Lord, we thank you for this forum on today, oh God, this past weekend, hallelujah, that's bringing about deliverance and healing, oh God, in marriages. We thank you for knowing, because your scripture says that marriage is honorable in your sight. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we come against every attack against the marriages. We come against every attack, oh God, hallelujah, hallelujah, that would try to curse that which you have blessed. In the name of Jesus, Lord, do it. We thank you for his friend, oh God, that was bold enough to come on the line, oh God. Hallelujah. A cry for help for his friend, oh God. We ask that you would just deliver, even encourage his heart, oh God, as he, oh God, to obey and move in such a way, oh God, that would help him, hallelujah, not to make a bad decision, a bad choice. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that you would just move, oh God. We ask that you would just have your way. Allow your glory to reign, oh God. Allow your glory to be ever prevalent, oh God. Hallelujah, over abuse. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray for that marriage right now, oh God. Even now, Lord, this prophecy is covered and binds up the hands of Satan, oh God. We lose unity and healing in that marriage, oh God. And we cover the children, oh God, that there will be no implications, Father God. There will be no backlash. And Father God, that they won't grow up to repeat this pattern of their parents, oh God. And Lord, we just ask, Father God, that you would heal that marriage, oh God. Heal the man. Heal the woman, oh Lord. Heal them individually, oh God. Heal the pain of the past, oh God. Hallelujah. Help them, Father God, to open their eyes, oh Lord. Let them both see, oh God, that they need help, oh God. And then lead them and give them the wisdom, Father God, to get the help that they need, oh God. So Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. And we cover that marriage, oh God, declaring that what you have put together that no man can pull asunder, oh God. So Lord, we just thank you, Father God, and we declare that their marriage shall be healed, oh God, that they shall be whole, oh God, that they shall go forward, oh God, even as two healed whole individuals. So Lord, we declare total healing by the power of prayer that you have invested in us. We declare total healing for this couple, oh God. Even if they have to separate for a while, Lord, like our sister Taryn Booker and her husband, we pray for them, oh God, that you continue to do what you're doing in their marriage, oh God. We lift up marriages everywhere, Dana and her husband, oh God. Oh Lord, we lift up marriages everywhere on this line, oh God, and beyond, oh God, that you will heal marriages, that you will heal the hearts of the individuals within these marriages, oh Lord. And let us know that we don't have to live broken, busted, and disgusted. We don't have to live, oh God, being hurt and hurting each other, oh God. So Lord, continue to even give this young man, this man who has called us on today, Father God, for godly counsel. Give him wisdom, oh God. You say that we have the mind of Christ, oh God, in your word, Lord. So Lord, open up his understanding, oh God, and give him the right words to say, oh God, when he speaks to his friend, oh God. He's crying out and reaching out on the behalf of his friend, oh God. So Lord, or both of his friends, because he knows the husband and the wife, oh God. But Lord, let him sit down and speak with his friend and give him the godly counsel from heaven, oh God. Give him words from on high. Let the Holy Spirit quicken the words, the right words for him to say. So Lord, we thank you that it's already done. And we declare this couple healed, whole, delivered, and set free, and living together perfect in perfect marital bliss, oh God. Not perfect, but unity, oh God. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We bless your name. Hallelujah. My brother, you have definitely opened up a whole nother discussion of men being battered, women being battered. We thank you for calling in.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. And tell your friend he could, you know, we didn't mention any names. We don't know who he is. If he wants to come back and listen, he can come back to blogtalkradio.com/power and listen. Amen. But God bless you, my brother, and thank you for caring.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the prayer.
Amen. Amen. Wow. We only have 2 minutes left. For those of you on the chat room, we're going to be, you're not going to be able to hear us in a couple of minutes. We're not going to shut down. We're going to take a few minutes to shut down. But you can call in to 646-652-4832 if you want to continue to hear, because we want to make sure we close out with right. Amen. Dana, I just want to say to Minister Dana Neal, Dana, are you still with us? Dana? Okay, I think we lost
Dana. I'm here.
Okay, Dana, yeah, I want to say to you, my daughter, I totally understand your position. I want you to just understand that for the sake of counsel, we have to always suggest that the person who's being abused get to a safe place. We're not suggesting divorce or that they break up, you know, that they separate their marriage, but we're saying just go to your corner. You go to your corner, he goes to his corner, so that the person who's doing the abusing realizes how serious this thing is. And the reason that we do it is because people are dying. People are dying out there because they didn't leave. And like I said, your husband, you and your husband, you have divine favor. You and your husband, you have to know how blessed you are, woman of God. You have to know how much favor the Lord has put upon your life, that your husband didn't leave you and that you're both still alive and then nobody lost an eye or arm or leg. So, you know, I respect you and your position. That's why I wanted you here, so that we can shine the light and show people that divorce is not the only option. We don't have to get divorced, but we can get help and we can get healed. You know, so thank God that, you know, God's hand is all over your marriage. God's hand is all over your life, because God has a divine purpose for you, and he has an ultimate plan for you, and it's not for you to live with anger on the inside of your heart, and it's not for you to live, you and your husband, to live at strife with each other. God loves you too much, and he has greatness in your future. He has too many lives for you to touch. So God is that. So he gets the glory in your marriage. God gets the glory for that situation. And I love your testimony, you know, the fact that your husband stayed. Minister Lalisa has a similar situation. You know, they have adultery. People would say he cheats, you could get a divorce. But they separated, but they didn't get divorced, and they're still married today. So God is able. Listen, God is able. He's able, and we stand on that as women of faith. And women of great faith, we stand on the fact that we know God is able. So when we're trying to say,
not just married, Pastor Rebecca, this is Minister Lisa, we are married and happy.
Yes.
Amen.
You know,
we are married and in love. We are married and care for one another. You know, so at the end, it's not just surviving something like that, but you can thrive past that. Amen.
Yes, and you can't. And then no matter how God does it, if we believe God to do it, he can do it while we're under separate rules, while we're getting the help that we need.
That's right, he will. We were separated a whole year. Didn't even see each other, didn't even talk to each other for one whole year. I had already gone, in my mind, I had gone my separate way. In my husband's mind, he had gone his separate way. But God had a way. See, God's ways are higher than our ways. You know, I was telling everybody, oh, my marriage is so over. I'm so over him. But God had a plan, because why? He is constantly trying to reveal his glory in the earth. And if we would ever just let go of what we want to show somebody and let's see what God wants to show somebody. And God wants to show, I'm just saying, there are times when God wants to show restored marriages, just like he wanted to show the man with the withered hand restored. Or the woman who had the issue of blood made whole. Sometimes our relationships are that issue of blood. and just as excited as, you know, the woman at the well was, who was able to go and show people what God had done for her, if we would ever just not just be in marriage for the world's reasons, I got a man, I got a woman, I got somebody, if we would ever begin to be married, be in marriage as showing the Godhead, you know, showing that two can become one. That's the most important message that God was getting across, that Jesus and him were one.
So, amen. And thank you so much for that. And that's what I wanted to just convey to you, Minister Daniel. You know, God has a great plan for your life and for your marriage, and you are victorious. You know, you were abused and you were an abuser, but that's what you used to do. You are victorious, and I thank God for the victory of you and your husband. You know, that you both now can stand up and say that the abuse is past you, that you're no longer that person, you know, and that God has delivered, totally delivered you. That's your testimony, and we need to hear that, that God can deliver the abuser.
Right.
So God bless you, daughter, and just thank you so much. I mean, we're going, you know, we're going, anytime you come here, you know, there's going to be some turbulence. Amen. When we talk about this issue of domestic violence, and I thank you for just being brave enough and just being obedient to the Lord. Say, you know what, I'm going, because we got to deal with this issue. We got to take off the gloves, and we got to deal with this issue.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I know I cut you off. We got a little heated there. But I want everybody to hear clearly, you know, that I know, you know, that the hand of the Lord was on your marriage, and that I respect where you're coming from. But, you know, we just had to counsel strongly in that area, and we will continue. You know, anytime you come here, I'm going to say, get to a safe place, even if it's for a night, if it's for a week, if it's for... There has to be repentance. I want you to help me with this. Had you had no repentance, there would have been no change, and I'm sure you agree with that.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Would not have been at all. Right. It would not have been nothing.
Yeah. And see, you had that because you got the Holy Ghost, but there are so many people that don't have the Holy Ghost. So they're not repenting worth jack. You know what I'm saying? They're just looking for the next opportunity to hit you. So, you know, we got to take everything into consideration and not look at the sister was talking about the demonic warfare, because we're not fighting flesh and blood. It's the devil. And we all know that. But we got to root out the devil. We got to cast Satan out, you know, of our homes, of our hearts, our lives, our marriages, everything. We have to just, because we're not going to, God, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come so that you might have life and have that life more abundantly. And I thank God that God brought you through, you and your husband. That's a testimony. But continue to hold up the bloodstained banner and say, had it not been for Jesus, we wouldn't be here today. And realize that everybody doesn't have Jesus. Everybody that hears this broadcast and listen, they don't have Christ. They only have a situation where they're being beaten. And the best advice, I don't know, somebody help me out. Maybe it's just me being stubborn. but we got to get to a safe place. You got to save your life, save your children's lives, and then you can save somebody else.
Amen.
Amen. That's true, Pastor. Amen.
So we're out of town. Time, Tina. We're gonna have to continue this. Dana, I know you have to go. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us. We have a hand raised. I don't know if this person's hand was raised before. 754. Was your hand raised before, or have you already spoken with us?
No, I haven't. This is Pastor Amaker, and I'm thankful for such a topic being discussed. I've never experienced it myself, But by all means, as a pastor, and like you said, as a pastor, regardless of what the situation is, get out, run, get away for your safety, male or female, male or female, man or woman, whoever who's ever being violently attacked, get out, because it's better. A good run is better than a bad stand. We used to stay in the street, and you know, sometimes it sometimes, you know, even as the situation heats up, sometimes it's just better, you know, and I've gotten into the past in other relationships. I've got into the situation and it got heated, and the police was called, and he said, when it gets like that, walk. Just take a walk. Just take a walk until you can cool down. And a lot of times that's the thing that is not missing. When it's getting, all right, baby. Okay, I see where this is going. Let's just get away, get some air, and then we can come back and discuss the matter calmly. Because I heard someone say, Pastor Rebecca and the brother say, you know, when a man feels that his manhood is being violated, now you have pushed him in a corner, and just about any, I don't know if it's just, you know, instinct on any animal as well as man. When people are backed in the corner, when people, male and female, most of the time when they're backed in the corner and there's no way out but through you, then guess what? I got to get out of here and I'm going to come through you. And sometimes and especially like you said, we as godly people, the Holy Ghost is always telling you. I mean, and I'm going to be quick, Pastor Rebecca. But I've been listening for a while. And one day, a couple of months ago, my wife and I was in the car, and we had unpleasant fellowship in conversation. And the Holy Ghost told me, said, shut up and don't say another word.
Wow.
In the middle, she said something, and boy, I was going to let it fly. I was going, oh, sister, let me tell you a thing or two. And the Holy Ghost said, stop right here. Don't say another word. And that's the thing, we are believers, because things happen, you know, we're human, yes, and, you know, you got two personalities, but you're going to have misunderstandings sometimes and unpleasant conversations. But when the Holy Ghost is in your life, he's not going to let you go past that point. He's not going to take you past the border where you're supposed to stop. He's not going to, you know, okay, stop there, and everything will be well. It's a lot of times when we override what the Holy Ghost say, and you go beyond that, now you're in trouble. Now somebody's hurt. Now something was said that you don't have to just repent to that person, but you got to repent to God for it. And hopefully not to the judge and whatever. But because that's the worst thing. It's the worst thing. Because of you slap your husband, you slap your wife, and the police is called in. Now you got all kind of classes and counseling and all these kind of things. I'm not saying nothing against it, but I'm just saying you open the door when the Holy Ghost could have helped, you know, because I'm speaking from a spiritual standpoint, not so much from
apologize. Holy Ghost is welcome here.
Like you said earlier, you know, everybody, you know, is not saved listening to the broadcast. But I'm speaking on a spiritual standpoint because we're still in the flesh. We're still human, and we still have, the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. So he allows me to know that I can let a situation aggravate me, but don't, you know, control your emotions. Self-control. That's something that's not in the church, a lot today, because a lot of people jumping up and down, running up and down, and hook them aside, but they don't have self-control. They don't have no self-control over their body, their flesh, or their mouth. And this is what God wants us to do, because you don't know who's watching. You don't know who's watching. You going at it, and you flying off with words and everything, and you riding down the street, and somebody who's been watching your life is sitting in the car next to you, standing next to you, listening to what you're doing, and like, wow, for real? Are you for real? See? And now your witness is killed. Your witness is destroyed because you could not show self-control. Bless. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's powerful. And we're going to take some closing remarks. Kyle, thank you, Pastor Amica, for bringing that in, because we have to realize that we do have a witness for Christ. We're going to take some closing remarks. Tina, I'm going to hand it over to you to take well, I'll actually do this part. I'm going to ask each panelist to give us closing remarks. But first, I'm going to give Dana Neal. She had to go. But she was saying as she was leaving out that people really don't want to hear from the abuser. They want to. Mm-hmm. They don't want to know what they have been through and how they see it from their side. They don't want to see how the restoration and all lives take God only. No one wants to hear the pain the abuser feels because they made a mistake. And healing takes so much and so long. Healing has to go so far back. And then she says, bless you all, love you. I have to get ready for my next job, and I thank you for the opportunity. And that's why we brought Dana here, because we do want to hear from the side of the abuser. And what I did get from Dana is that the abuser is hurt. And the abuser has a lot of healing to undergo. And what I did get from Dana Neal is that only God can restore and heal and deliver the abuser. And the abuser is someone who is in a lot of pain. The abuser is someone who is in a lot of pain. And not only do we have to help the abused, but we do have to help the abuser. And that's what we've been saying on this broadcast the whole time, all 3 days, that we need help for the abuser and we need help for the abused. So I want to turn it over. My husband says I have a lot of static. So I'm going to turn it over.
I don't hear the static.
You don't hear the static? Okay,
no.
It must be his phone. But we have to help both the abuser and the abused. Amen. And pray for our sister, Dana Neal. We're going to pray for her. I'm going to have prophets pray for her just before we go off the line. But I want to have everybody else give their remarks. What, after all is said and done, at the end of the day, what's the most important thing you can say to someone who's in an abusive situation? And Tina, you can just call on each panelist and let them go ahead and respond.
Okay. Gazelle Simmons, can you respond to that question for me, please?
Yes, I certainly can.
Thank you for being here again.
Amen. You're very welcome. I appreciate the opportunity. It's always an honor. My first response is run. I always remember in the Bible when we talk of Joseph, when he got into a situation he couldn't handle, his first thought was run. He didn't want to argue with her. He didn't want to beg for his coat back. He didn't want to stay and get his rights. You know, he wasn't beating on his chest, I'm a man. He ran because he knew the Lord would make a way out, even if that meant running. So I tell people, there is nothing wrong with running. Pick it up, pull it out, move out, and be done.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. That was fine. I want Minister LaLisa Williams to also answer. And LaLisa, in your answer, if you have any, we didn't have an opportunity to talk about it, but if you have any state laws that you want to discuss real quickly in your answer, can you just give it to us regarding domestic violence?
She has dropped off the call.
She has. Okay. Pastor Carson.
Okay. The state laws, I'm not too familiar with them all. I normally just bring a trained professional to come in and speak to the women regarding the laws, but there is legislation since 1970 that will assist a woman, even just a report that you were assaulted. Okay, the woman, the majority of the time, a woman never wants to press charges, but the government will. The government will. So I don't know the exact legislation, but I know it's back from 1970, just through some research that I've done. But all you have to do is say, you know, I was assaulted, and the state will certainly take it over. So you don't have to do but so much. They will protect you. And I'm about to drop off the line, but just let the healing begin. Let the healing begin.
And that's
have
what
a
I'm
will,
thinking.
Have a will to survive. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
God bless
Amen.
You. Thank
so
you so much.
Thank you so much, Pastor Carson.
Thank you,
God bless you, sister. Wait a minute, Pastor Carson.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Before you go, you're having the weapons of power. Weapons of power. Just give us that information before you go, even for those who will be listening to the archive a little bit later on, because we're going to be there next week.
Wow. Oh, God, thank you. I didn't expect that. Thank you so much, Pastor Rebecca. Weapons of Power started out as being understanding the strategy of the enemy and understanding the strategy of the Lord. Weapons of Power Conference is called Woman, Where Art Thou? And it does cater to the women to rise up. Rise up in power, dealing with the woman that's broken, the woman that's been battered, the woman who has been betrayed. Okay, all of these topics will be discussed in our workshop on Saturday, October 28th. We will be at Mount Olivet Baptist Church, 401 Avon Avenue, Newark, New Jersey, and as well as October 29th. Powerful speakers. You can email me, inbox me, Facebook me to get relative information. Thank you.
Amen. And to get in touch with her, Pastor Gwendolyn Carson on Facebook. Gwendolyn Lester Carson. Who else do we have?
Did Coach Lisa come back on the line?
No, you can't get back in. So once you drop,
you can't get back in.
Okay, so Tina.
I want to just they are? Okay. I would like to repeat the numbers. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want you to give us some information for help and how we could get help, professional help, and then I'm going to have Prophetess pray us out.
Okay. Well, first I'm going to give you the information in regard to National Domestic Hotline if you need help. If you need help yourself or your family or for a friend or a stranger you may see, the telephone number is 1-800-799-7233. Again, I repeat, 1-800-799-7233. If you're in the Jersey area, our domestic hotline number is 1-800-572-7233. If you are in the Essex County area of New Jersey, it's also a domestic violence hotline. The telephone number is 973-484-4446. In the city of North New Jersey, we also have a center for counseling called Jacqueline Spencer Counseling Center. It's open 6 days a week. You can contact the center at 973-280-8179. I also want to give the National Teen Dating Abuse 24/7 helpline, and that number is 866-331-9474. We're going to post this information on Pastor Rebecca's Facebook page. I'm also going to have it posted on Tina L. Lane's Facebook page if you need to get the numbers again. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tina, we want to just praise God for you. You did an excellent job as our moderator today. Amen. We praise God. Thank all of our panelists. We just give you and all of our panelists a round of applause at what we call praise to God. Thank you, Jesus. And we thank God for Prophet Singletary, our prayer warrior, my right hand, you know, who has just really blessed us through prayers, covering this particular conference in prayer and being there for us, interceding, even as we were on the line all week long, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. She stood and she interceded in prayer, and we know we needed prayer because the devil is not happy about what we're doing here, but God is getting the glory. I want to thank God for Pastor Amica. Sir, did you have any final words just before we go off, we close out the program?
I'm just honored to have heard such good information, and I do not endorse in any shape, form, or fashion domestic violence. Man by woman to the man or man to the woman. No, we don't endorse that. I don't encourage anybody to do it. Hit nobody. I remember Color Purple. Whoopi told the young man, said, beat her. I mean, well, that was, you know, back then in that day. But in this day, you know, if we could be so, educated in other things, then that first of all, let me say this, and then I'm going to be very brief. But first of all, before you are my wife, before I am your husband, I am your brother in the Lord. And brothers and sisters, there's certain things, there's certain behavior that is not adequate to brothers and sisters, especially in the household of faith. Now, and that's what we have to really understand. This is my sister. Yes, she's my wife, but she is my sister in the Lord. Jesus says there's no marriage of giving in marriages in heaven. So as far as he's looking at us, we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're married in the flesh, but we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we're supposed to protect each other, cover each other in love, not abuse each other. Bless you. Thank you.
Bless you.
My God. Yes.
Thank you
amen.
For powerful conference
here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Lee, God bless you. Brother Ali, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Did you have any final remarks?
I was supposed to.
If you don't care.
No. Yeah. No. Amen. But thank you for listening to us. Amen. Thank you for being with us. I pray you got some information. For your relationships. God bless you. God bless you, everybody. Pastor Carson, Minister Lalitha Wims, Minister Dana, Neil, Sister Gazelle Simmons, Sister Tina Lane, Prophetess Angie Singletary. God bless you all. And my wonderful husband, Pastor Emily Simmons. God bless you all. And thank you so much for making this online conference successful. I thank God for each and every one of you and for everybody who listened. Amen. I want to thank God for Sister Tina Lane, who was there when I birthed out this vision that we were having a conversation, and the vision was birthed through that conversation, and for her taking the ball and contacting all of the speakers and creating the promo and, you know, moderating this panel and just being there to flesh this thing out. And I just thank God for you, Sister Tina Lane, because you have been very instrumental in making this first online domestic violence conference a huge success. So I just thank God for you and give you
praise.
give you some more applause.
Give you some more applause. I just thank God for you. Amen.
Amen.
So
thank you, Pastor.
And I just want to ask prophetess, God bless you, prophetess. Thank you for sacrificing your set Thursday, Friday, and Saturday to be with us here all 3 days and for always being in position to pray with power. You're not just praying, but you're praying with power. So I
Amen.
Thank God for you, prophetess. And did you have any remarks to make? I've been asking you to pray all week, and I just want to give you some final words before you pray. Did you have any remarks that you want to make just before you pray?
Amen. You know, I just thank God for just being on the line, you know, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You know, this is what ministry is all about. It's about reaching out to those that need an outlet and need some help. So it's just a blessing that this domestic online violence conference online has taken place, and we pray that the word that was ministered on Thursday night, Friday, and even the panel discussion today, we pray that the word touched somebody to want their life to be turned around and changed. And we just thank God for the reminder, letting people know, and just a wake-up call to let people know, no, I don't have to live like this. You know, God has so much better for us, and, you know, we're the apple of his eye, and, you know, we have to come into the realization of what our worth is. You know, I'm better than a whole lot of stuff that I've put up with throughout the years, you know, and it's just been a blessing. I'm glad to have been a part of it.
Wow.
Amen. Thank you, Prophet. And before we go off the line, I just want to thank you. You're thanking everyone else, Pastor Rebecca, but I want to thank you because I know this is more than just a conference for you. You really want to speak to people who are in this situation, women and men, to say that you don't have to live like this. You want to give them the information. You want to give them the knowledge. You want to empower them. You want to talk to them about the love of God in their life.
Amen.
So I thank you for being a visionary and a founder of Woman to Woman Empowerment Group and the Pastor of New Creation Christian Ministry.
Amen.
And for you having that passion in you to come forth and say, okay, I want to do this domestic violence conference. I want women and men to come hear it. I want someone to be blessed. I want somebody's life to be changed. I want to minister to them. I want to bring other people in to minister and experts to talk to them. So I thank you today for doing that because
Amen.
I know it's coming from the bottom of your heart. Somebody will be blessed from this. Somebody's going to hear this on an archive, whether it's today
Hallelujah.
Or a year from today. Somebody's going to hear this word. Somebody's life's going to be changed. We had men call in today. We weren't expecting that. So we know that the power of the Lord was here. Men called in and shared and told their
Amen.
Stories. So I bless you, Pastor Rebecca, for doing the will of God today and having this conference. Amen.
Wow. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. To God be the glory. It's intense. It is intense, but I'm a willing vessel, and I just thank you for those words. Thank you both. Thank you all. God bless you. Prophetess, we need to pray for Minister Dana Neal and her husband. And, you know, she's feeling a little misunderstood right now, and it's hard. It's difficult to understand the abuser. It really is. It's tough. So, you know, we just want to lift her up in prayer and lift up anybody who's going to hear the archives from this broadcast, lift up her marriage. And let's just make sure that the devil knows he can't even come and play with her anymore. Even pray that the Lord will continue to heal her because I just sense that God is still healing her. So let us go ahead and go before the Lord in prayer.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, O God. We thank you for everything that you've allowed our ears to hear on today. Lord, we ask that you would just bless, O God. We ask that you would just move into the lives of your people, O God, all of the panelists, O God. We thank you for the visionary, O God. We thank you for the moderator, O God. We thank you for everyone that came in on the lines, everyone that was tuned in via the internet. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask that you would just open up the understanding of your people, O God. We thank you for knowing, O God, that the reason that you allowed us to come forth was not to come at each other, oh God, hallelujah, but we thank you for knowing that you do things decently and in order. We thank you, oh God, for our minister, Dana Neal, who was on the line.
Yeah.
We thank you, oh God, for her perspective, oh God, being an abuser. We thank you, oh God, for healing her, raising her up from her past, God, allowing her to travel down the road to victory, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So we come against, oh God, all misunderstandings. We come against, oh God, anything that was heard wrong, oh God. We thank you for yet moving in her life. We thank you for yet healing her and delivering her, oh God.
Thank you for knowing that you're the only one that can give us total restoration, oh God, in everything. Lord, we ask that you would just encourage her heart, encourage her mind, encourage her spirit, oh God. Allow her to continue to move forth in a spirit of excellence, oh God, that you have given her. We even thank you for her husband, oh God, even though he remained, oh God. We thank you, oh God, because you were the only one that could have conditioned him, oh God, to even handle and to go through that which he had to go through. We ask that you would just continue to bless him, continue to move in his life. Bless their union as a whole, oh God. We thank you, oh God, because the two have become one, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for the new thing that you're doing in their lives. We thank you, oh God, for allowing them to go forth, hallelujah, in ministry. We thank you, oh God, holiday Osiah. We thank you, God, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for touching that manservant, oh God. We ask that you would save him from the utmost, oh God. We thank you, oh God, hallelujah. Lord, bring about a change in his life, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for knowing that if any man be in Christ Jesus, Lord, he's a new creature. Lord, we're naming it and we're claiming it, oh God, hallelujah. She's spoken in the atmosphere today that he's not saved, oh God, but we thank you, oh God, for being able to offer up the prayer of salvation, oh God, even into his heart and even into his life, oh God. Lord, save him, God, heal him, deliver, oh God, allow him to come forth in his full purpose, oh God, towards you. We thank you, oh God, give him a hunger and a thirsting after you, oh God, even as he's yet with his wife, oh God, allow him to look on her and to see something, oh God, hallelujah. Allow her to see her action and her ways, oh God, and want to cry out, Lord, what must I do to be saved, oh God? Save him, lift him up, oh God, fill him up, fill him with your glory. Fill him with your anointing, oh God. Fill him with your power from on high, oh God. Hallelujah. We thank you for the scripture says that after we receive the Holy Ghost, we shall receive power, oh God. We ask that you would just endow him. Touch him, Lord, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, oh God. Lord, look on our children. Oh God, we thank you for taking them through, oh God. Hallelujah. Even the processes and the years of things that they had to see and experience, oh God. Hallelujah. We thank you, oh God. Hallelujah. For healing their hearts and their minds, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for continually moving them towards you. We thank you for every panelist, oh God. Hallelujah. Everyone that had a story to share. We thank you for those, oh God, that didn't even have a story to share, hallelujah, outwardly, oh God, but those that have gone through different things, oh God, and you've allowed a way of escape, oh God. We thank you for being the survivor today, oh God. We thank you for healing everyone, oh God, that had to deal with physical abuse and mental abuse and verbal abuse, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, oh God, for knowing, oh God, that the conference was not just geared towards the victim, oh God, hallelujah, but we learned a new perspective, oh God, hallelujah, to pray for the healing and deliverance, oh God, of the abuser. We thank you, oh God, hallelujah. We ask that you would just speak to the heart and the mind of everyone that feels the need to abuse, oh God. We thank you, oh God. Heal them, oh God. Heal them from the childhood past, oh God. Heal them from different things that they went through. We ask that you would just heal them from generational curses. Break every curse, oh God. We thank you for the anointing that's able to destroy yokes in the lives of your people, oh God. We thank you for change, oh God. We thank you for a new perspective, a new outlook on life, oh God. We thank you for knowing, oh God, that we don't have to do what our grandmother did, our grandfather did, our mother did, and what our father did, oh God. Hallelujah. But allow us, oh God, to model after you. Continue to bless, oh God, even though this conference, oh God, is somewhat ending on today, but not ending, oh God, hallelujah. We thank you for your word getting across the nations, the states, oh God, every country, oh God, hallelujah. The scripture said that your word would not return back void, oh God, but oh God, that it would accomplish that which it was sent out to do. Hallelujah. We thank you for healing. Thank you for healing, oh God. Thank you for healing, oh God. Thank you for healing. Thank you for dispersing your angels, oh God, to heal those that are yet crying out and don't know a way out, oh God. Thank you, oh God. Hallelujah. For you being real in the lives of your people, oh God. We thank you, oh God. Hallelujah. For we are overcome by the word of our testimony, oh God. Thank you for every story that was told, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you for every word that was said over the airwaves, oh God. Hallelujah. To let people know there is a way out, that they don't have to stay in what they're in, oh God. Hallelujah. We thank you for knowing that you have so much better for us, oh God. Help us to take the limits off of you, oh God. Help us not to accept that which we see. Hallelujah. We thank you for faith. Now faith, oh God. Hallelujah. We don't see it, oh God, but we believe your report on today, oh God. We believe the report of the Lord. We believe your report, oh God. We thank you for the visionary. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Continue to bless, oh God. Continue, oh God. Hallelujah. To have your way and to get your word out the way that you see fit. In the name of Jesus, Lord, and even as we're, hallelujah, coming down, hallelujah, hallelujah, from this, hallelujah, segment on today, but never from your presence, oh God, continue to lead us and guide us, oh God, help us, oh God, to stay in your will, help us to be obedient to your word, oh God, hallelujah, yes, God, every vision, oh God, hallelujah. Every gift, everything that you've assigned us to do, everything that you're calling us forth to do, oh God, help us to do it, oh God, help us to move in obedience. So that somebody's life can be saved, oh God. So that somebody's life, oh God, hallelujah, doesn't have to end early.
Thank you. We binding up the hand of the strong man, oh God. Hallelujah. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise because we believe, oh God, that you've sealed every word that has gone forth on today, oh God. Hallelujah. Word to heal and to encourage your people, oh God, to let them know that there is a way out and they don't have to live like this. Hallelujah. Bless us, God. Hallelujah. Until we come together in fellowship again. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Thank you, God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And if you're not saved and you're listening live or via archive, we know that the ultimate power is to be found in Jesus Christ, to be found in God through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. So we offer Christ to you. God wants to be in relationship with you, and that's the best relationship that you can ever have. When you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, you truly can love your neighbor as you love yourself. He is the love yourself. And so many of us can't love ourselves because we've been through so much in life. But God wants you to know today that you can be free. And it starts with a confession of repentance and acceptance of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, not just Savior. But he wants to be Lord in your life. And you can do that. Some of you are already saved, and you just need to repent. You need to give your life back to Christ. You need to make your way to church. You need to say, God, I've been out here for a while, but I know I should be in church. I know I should be serving you. I know I should be walking with you. I want to know you better. Church just helps us to get to know God better. Right. Some people may say church is full of hypocrites, but you know what? That's just one more hypocrite that's going to push you closer to God, that's going to push you into the arms of Jesus Christ, because that's really what God wants. Even in the midst of all the folk in the church, he wants us to walk hand in hand with him. So I offer Christ to you, and I offer you to come back to Christ. Amen. Just pray this prayer if that's you and you need to be saved. Say, Father, I repent of my sin. I need Jesus in my life. I ask you to forgive me and to come into my life. Live as my Savior. Live as my Lord. I give my life to you today. I turn back on my old ways. I take your hand today and embark upon a brand new life. Forgive me, Lord. Heal me. Set me free, build me up, and use me for your glory. So I receive your forgiveness. I receive deliverance, and I receive salvation. I receive healing right now, today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer, then you just got saved or you made your way back to Christ, email me, powerintheword1@yahoo.com, or send me an inbox on Facebook. That's Pastor Rebecca Simmons. Amen. Make your way over to the church. We're at New Creation Christian Ministries, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. That's if you're in New Jersey. If you're not in New Jersey, find the Word Believing, Word Preaching, preach a faith-filled, fire-filled church. Amen. And get yourself built up in the things of God. Amen. Meet me even next week right here at 1 o'clock p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/power. We sure will probably be talking about this same topic, I am certain. But go in peace. I want to play a song. Let me play this song. The sister that called in on Wednesday night, she inboxed me, and she made this song. And she told me I could play it on the show today. And I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. But I want to play this song called In the Middle by our sister, Tanya Denise. Amen. Let's hear her ministry.
To be stuck in the middle is a very hot spot to be. It is a situation that is wished to be avoided. It is a situation that is so very awkward to say the least. All I really desire is understanding, peace, truth, and definitely real love. Where is the real love? How do I get real love? To find real love, I must realize that the meaning is knowing and understanding the part of never being alone. The understanding, peace, truth, and real love comes from the peacemaker, God. I am never alone because of His everlasting presence, protection, and peace. The peace that is unsurpassed. I may be stuck in the middle, but never alone.
I was in trouble.
Amazon.com, Stuck in the Middle, but Never Alone. I'm praising God right now. There's hope, sister. There's hope, my brother. You are not alone. God is with you. Amen. No matter what you're going through, God is with you. So I'm touched. I'm just so touched. We're going to close out here. That's powerful. God bless you, Sister Tina.
Bless you, Pastor.
Apostles here, so we have to continue to get ready to go to dinner with our apostle. But God bless you, prophetess. God bless you, everybody. Amen. God bless you. We will see you all soon. Amen. Go in peace. We're going to go out with our theme song. But spread the word, the archives. Put these archives on your pages because this is too powerful to keep to ourselves. And we're going to go out on our theme song as soon as I find it on my switchboard. I survived. Mary, Mary. Amen.
Amen.
So go take a big hug from me. And I tell you, know that God is not finished with us yet. I'm sure this is just the beginning of us dealing with this particular issue. So go in peace. And serve the Lord, knowing that God loves you, and so do I. Peace.
Peace.
Any day now is what I kept telling myself.